Hello, and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. We're still not dead.
Weesa back.
Jar Jar, are you going to be in the new J.J. Abrams Star Wars movie? Great, now no one's ever going to listen again. Start with a Jar Jar impression.
Hey, I posted, on Facebook, Amazon's doing some sort of 12 days of Christmas sale thing where each day they have, like, a different movie or TV collection they're giving away. And so you have to, like the post and then say, like, what your favorite character was or whatever. And so, with no shame, they were giving away the Star Wars, like, Clone Wars set or something like that. And I posted Jar Jar Binks as my favorite character.
Did you win?
No.
I actually hope J.J. Abrams brings back Jar Jar.
Hey.
Just to fuck with people.
Hey, J.J., Jar Jar.
Dun, dun, dun. Obviously will happen.
Hey, man, I'd be there, like, front and center.
It'd be like a Sergei Leone movie. It'll start with this extreme close-up of Jar Jar's face, and he'd be, like, old and weathered. And then Eli Wallach will show up and try to shoot him.
That would be awesome.
Oh, I'm sorry, not Eli Wallach. Who was that guy with
Jack
weird...
Elam?
Yes, thank you. So I was looking on the internet the other day, trying to see which celebrity will die next, because, you know, in threes.
Who's died recently?
Paul Walker, oh. Nelson Mandela, and guess, yeah, so I was trying to see who's really old. Like, Kirk Douglas is still alive.
Yeah, that is mind-blowing. Isn't Ernest Borgnine still around? Or
I think he is. They're both, like, almost 100.
Yeah.
Eli Wallach is still alive, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
who are you putting your money on?
I was thinking George Herbert Walker Bush.
Ooh.
Because he's Walker is one of his three middle names or whatever.
And he just joined Twitter, apparently.
And Walker.
Ooh.
Like Paul Walker.
And was Nelson Mandela's middle name Herbert?
I don't know. Well, Lindsay Lohan is 27 now, so.
But she's not a musician. Isn't that a musician thing?
Is it?
I thought so.
Yeah, I guess you're right, because Amy Winehouse, Jimi Hendrix, Kurt Cobain, Janis Joplin.
Jim Morrison, right?
Were all... Was he 27?
I think so, wasn't he?
I don't know. We could look it up. 27 Club or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Call me Young Gun.
There were a hell of a lot of them.
Anyway, so on this episode... Okay, so we are at least trying to do these every Christmas.
Oh, yeah, and who are we? I don't know if we introduced ourselves.
Oh, well, I'm Ben Heckendorn.
Yes, and I'm Jason Jones.
Yes, and he's my friend, so even if you don't care about my friends, I do. So there. No, I go on YouTube. I go on YouTube, and there'll be a video with, like, the angry video game nerd, and then he'll have his friend over to play a video game, and they'll record it. And people will text, like, oh, we don't want to see this guy. It's like, he's his friend. You might not care about his friend, but he does.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Surprise.
So, I don't know, we should try to at least get back on this horse, like, once a month.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's fun talking about this stuff. And then we were trying to do it at least every Christmas, but last Christmas I was really busy.
Yes.
Last Christmas. Oh, we don't need any Wham songs.
Yeah, nobody needs that.
Well, George Michael did. George Michael knew that his father would not approve.
Oh, boy.
So, anyway, here are our topics. So, we're going to do an overview of the last generation of consoles, which would be, you know, PS3, Xbox 360, and the Wii. Then we will argue about which console generation we are on now, 7th or 8th. It's like, you know, Stephen Hawking arguing with a creationist over the age of the universe. Well, not quite that extreme, but... Okay, then, all these podcasts are now on my website, and you can actually get them from iTunes as well. You can go back to 2006 and hear us call the Wii a fad.
Wow, that was 2006.
That's when we started.
Jesus.
Remember
ages
that?
Ago.
And what did we say about the Wii buyers?
Yeah, that they were like a one-and-done group, basically.
And we couldn't have... We didn't know what they would move on to. Now we do. It's tablets and smartphones, but... Yeah.
And they did hang on longer than we thought. Like, you know, more Wiis got sold than we thought.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. Well, more
far,
Wiis got
so.
Sold than anyone thought.
Yeah. So, I guess we're not alone in that.
But then the thing that was neat about the last generation is... You know, it was a pissy match over, oh, PS3, Xbox sales. You had Wii selling 100 million, PS3, Xbox, pretty much neck and neck, 80 million. That's like 260 million consoles sold in a generation versus like 50 million back in the Super Nintendo days. So,
yeah, it's pretty huge.
That's what you can really take
so
away from.
Everybody wins, basically.
So on that subject, we're also going to talk about tablets, the harbinger of death for the gaming industry. Probably not. Wait, I guess we just ended that conversation.
Don't bury the lead.
And then, will there be a next gen of consoles? Mm-hmm. And, you know, will they be able to get 8 years out of this generation? Okay, so then, of course, we're also going to talk about movie stuff because we like talking about movie stuff. So, what's the first topic there for movie stuff?
Batman, then and now. And this has probably been instigated by the fact that I recently watched the two Tim Burton Batmans, and I was kind of, well, the second one's been crappy for a long time, but the first one I was a little surprised at how kind of creaky it has become with age.
Oh, it has a lot of issues, no doubt.
So,
I also recently, I think it was about 2 months ago, because I bought that Blu-ray years ago, and I just finally sat down and watched it, and so I've seen it recently as well.
Yes. So we'll discuss.
The Avengers effect, which is basically every studio cramming as many characters into the superhero movies as possible, hoping to replicate, which they won't, the success of the Avengers. Do you want to do celebrity doppelgangers? I don't know if that's really an auditory...
I don't know. I can't really think on that subject.
The most recent one I was thinking of was Paula Patton and Rashida Jones, but then I looked it up and not quite.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was just one of those things that was driving down the road and thinking about celebrity doppelgangers.
It happens.
I saw a picture of Gabe Newell,
mm-hmm.
and who's my celebrity doppelganger.
Yes.
But he, like, has this gray beard now. He looks like Gabe the White.
So he's like Gandalf?
Kind of. And I cannot grow a white beard. I could grow a beard and bleach it, I guess.
Just depends how committed you are to the doppelganger.
See, that's why. Oh, speaking of the age of consoles and creationists, and that's why there's got to be some sort of god someplace. It's like the cruel irony of being able to grow hair easily everywhere except the top of your head. That's got to be divine intervention. Who else could be so cruel? Anyway... also with movies, franchises we can't believe actors or directors haven't crawled back to yet.
Yes.
Then long movies and this trend of cutting every movie into like half or three or four.
Or threeve.
Threeve. It's totally a word from Saturday Night Live. Which of course will bring us on to The Hobbit. Which is also a pinball machine. Oh, and people also wanted us to talk about America's Most Wanted or Haunted or whatever that...
Yeah, whatever that game you made is
whatever
called.
That game is. All right, so let's get started. So, last generation of games.
Yeah, what happened there? So, it was Wii, Xbox 360, and PS3, and the 360 came out first. Wait, but was that 2005?
2005.
When that came out?
And the other two came out 2006.
Yeah, and so, you know, what was it going into that generation? Of course, nobody really thought the Wii would do anything. And then it kind of surprised everybody by outselling the other two.
Well, nobody thought Nintendo would do anything, but when they had their E3 conference in 2006, you know, people were like, oh my god, this is amazing.
Well, remember though, when that happened, it was like, because up until that point it was rumored to be called the Revolution.
Yep.
And then they announced it as the Wii, and everybody was kind of like...
Before E3.
Yeah, and it was like, what the fuck? Like, what does this even mean, you know, and...
I gotta wonder if Xbox One is called that for the same what the fuck factor.
Yeah.
Hey, but people talk about it.
Yeah, people know what it is, you know, and that's what it's all about in marketing, so.
And think about it, it's kind of Xbox One. It's like, oh, it won? Did it win? It's kind of a positive.
Yeah, maybe
that's like a secret word.
And it does symbolize what they're going for of having like this one device that you can... do everything you want to do on, basically.
I think that's my favorite U2 song, One.
Hmm. I like With or Without You. That one's pretty good.
Yeah. So I guess the Spider-Man musical finally is closing on Broadway, speaking of U2.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I was surprised it was still going, actually.
I guess it actually did pretty well, but it was so expensive, it was non-sustainable.
Didn't somebody get hurt again just a few months ago?
Oh, I don't know about recently. I did see Book of Mormon last month.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was pretty good. As a diehard South Park fan, I, of course, am familiar with the Mormon episode in South Park.
Hmm.
A lot of the material was redundant.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. I still would consider Team America to be their crowning achievement.
Yes. How can you go wrong? Alec Baldwin.
You can't unhack me, boy. Don't even try.
So what did we predict with that last generation?
Well,
way back when.
I don't know. What did we predict? I didn't listen to all the podcasts because that would have taken years.
Well, neither did I.
Well, we you know, the Wii was on fire, and we said that it was a fad, and that's certainly proving to be true. Yeah. Nintendo still is doing really well with the 3DS. Maybe they just need to lower the price of the Wii. Because the 3DS moved like cement on the 4th of July. I don't know what that analogy is supposed to mean. Until they lowered the price.
Mm-hmm.
I think they actually have already lowered the price of the Wii U. Well, the thing is, okay, first of all, the Wii U is going to fail. Because
yeah,
well, I just say this outright.
Well, third parties are already like bailing on it.
On top of that, even if they weren't, you have the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 are both x86 based now. The Wii U is PowerPC. So it's not going to be as straightforward to port it. It'll get ports of PS3/Xbox 360 games, yeah. You know, because those systems, they'll still be supported for another 2 years, I'd say. But it'll, that well will dry up pretty quickly. And from what I've heard, it's, you know, like the Wii was two GameCubes duct taped. Well, no, it's not even two GameCubes duct taped together. It's basically an overclocked GameCube. So two GameCubes duct taped together was generous. Anyway, so they clock it a little faster, and then they have three cores, so it's, you know.
It's not even a 360?
Or yeah, the graphics are better, but it's certainly not much past those. It's pretty much what the Wii should have been in 2006.
Okay.
I mean, if they could have had great graphics and an innovative controller, they could have mopped up. And they went from the simplest controller that grandma and grandpa can understand to the most complicated one ever.
That's true.
And then they called it the Wii U, and they advertised the controller. So I know more than one game person who thought it was an add-on.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Tusk thought that. My brother-in-law thought that. There's two people.
Wow.
These are people who play video games.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's... I think I know, like, a couple people who have them, but that's it. And it's been out for a year now?
Yeah.
Right?
So the, PS4 and Xbox One combined have already outsold it after they have
after like three weeks.
Now what someone would say is like, well, the Wii U, you know, it sold like 3 million units last Christmas and then like 900,000 since.
Jeez.
So that same kind of flare up could happen with the other two consoles, but I think it's a lot less likely because there's big titles like Watch Dogs and God hoping Fallout 4.
Is there a God of War coming anytime soon? Has that even been announced?
They actually made a God of War Ascension that came out like just about a year ago.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone
even
bought it. So it's going to be a while. I want Fallout 4. That's what I want.
And there is an Uncharted coming?
Yes, there's a PS4 Uncharted.
Nice.
See, you know, PS4 is a completely unoriginal name, but it's like, oh, it is the next PlayStation.
Yeah.
Wii U sounds like where you'd go to learn about Nintendo games.
Yeah, it's just like iPhone, you know, until they started doing all this other stuff they've been doing lately, but it's like, you know, iPhone 4, iPhone, but then they did 4S,
4S.
But then 5, you know.
5S.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like at least there's some consistency there.
Unless you're Microsoft, then you count backwards.
Yeah, Microsoft.
Xbox 360, there's some other console or something that had a really weird numbering scheme. Oh, I can't remember what it was. What I think is interesting is Microsoft's Modern UI or Metro, whatever it used to be called. I think that was copyright. That's why they call it Modern UI. That started with the Zune.
Yes, it did.
That you see that in other devices now. Like Android copied it. Apple copied Android.
Oh, yeah.
All websites UI have totally taken over that UI. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting to see.
Yeah, I love that back when I had my Zune. I'm like, I remember sitting there when I had that thing and I was like, they should make a Zune phone and use this as the OS. And, you know, they ended up essentially doing that with Windows Phone, although they shouldn't have called it Windows Phone, but that's a whole other conversation.
Well, even though you have a Windows Phone and I have an Android phone, I think we both agree we don't care for Apple.
Yes.
But look at Apple. First of all, iOS 7 copies Android, a lot of things from Android. And then they just bought PrimeSense, who created the Kinect.
Yeah.
It's like Apple is being reactionary now.
Yeah, it's an interesting shift for them.
Granted, all they have to do is make a giant iPhone and they'll sell trillions of copies of it, but still.
Make their phablet.
I know a lot of people that Note and they love it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, your phone is pretty big too.
Yeah, it's not that big though. They've got the 1520 that you can buy if you want to get the phablet Windows phone.
I bought a Nexus 7 tablet, the 2013 version. I really like it. I actually prefer it to my iPad.
Hmm.
You better not break it.
Keep it away from me.
I'm gonna come over and break your iPad someday. That'll show you. yeah, so... It'll probably never happen, but... can you imagine how much money Nintendo could make with, like, third-party... putting their games on their consoles?
Yeah, it would just print money. They have too much pride to do it, but yeah, if they put them on consoles and put them on, like, tablets and phones, you know, a Super Mario game for, like, the iPhone or Android or whatever, it's like, holy shit, you know, print money.
I think what happens is, you know, young people or millennials or whatever they call them now, you know, they see a company like Apple or Microsoft or Apple or Nintendo, like, oh, these companies can't go wrong. It's like, sure they can. I mean, Virtual Boy, Rob, Pippin. These companies have done tons of stupid shit. I mean, of course, so has Microsoft and Sony.
Yeah.
It's just that some companies, people think they never do anything stupid. It's like, no, every company has stupid things.
Yeah, yeah. People think there's companies that don't ever do anything stupid, and then there's people that think there's other companies that never do anything right. You know, and there's a lot of people that shit on Microsoft. You know, they kind of take the opposite tact with Microsoft, and they're like, oh, everything they do sucks. And
well, Sony got shit on a lot with PS3.
And Sony as well, yeah.
Well, then, but they've certainly righted the ship, you know, with public perception.
Yes.
Yeah. Although I would bet my left nut, PlayStation 4 had all that DRM ready to go as well. There's no way, see, 90% of games are multi-platform. There's no way one console would have had that and not the other.
Yeah.
Because all the third party would have completely abandoned the console without it. Mm-hmm. It was basically a blink chicken type thing. It's very political. It's like Microsoft's like, we're doing this, and the other one's like, oh, I'm not.
Yeah,
it's basically who pulls their pants down first.
And then behind the scenes, you know, all the developers are back there at Sony, you know, like unraveling all this. And
well, that was a conspiracy theory that one of the reasons the networks have been so wanky for the new consoles is because they're all set up to be like online authentication. That basically, once that all got changed, they had to scramble. Sony as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess we'll never know. But, oh, wait, I know. I'm completely certain that PlayStation 4 is playing that all along.
Bunch of savages.
Although you can see Microsoft doing a lot of the same things with Xbox. It's like the third console hubris. Sony did it. Nintendo did it. Atari did all sorts of stupid things. Like the king of stupid decision companies. You know, you kind of see it with, like, the Xbox One. But I don't know. I think I wouldn't count it out. I think it's got a good shot.
Yeah, I think its biggest detriment right now is just the price. I mean, it's like, yeah, I know it comes with the, you know, enhanced Kinect thing now, but it's like, I don't give a shit about that thing, but it makes it cost an extra $100 over a PS4.
But you can say Xbox On.
Do I care? Some people might, but me, I don't give a shit. It's like I don't have a problem picking up a controller or a remote and, you know, turning something on that way.
We did a teardown on our show, and it is mostly air inside. I mean, they are not taking any chances with overheating.
Yeah.
Because the PlayStation 4 is much smaller with a built-in power supply.
Mm.
So I would say if I had to guess which console was going to be more failure prone, I would actually say PlayStation 4.
Mm.
But they don't have the stigma of being faulty like Xbox did, so they can be a little bit more liberal with their design decisions.
And the PS4 has DDR5
yes.
RAM, right? Where the Xbox One has DDR3.
Mm-hmm. They both have the same amount. Although it's rumored the Xbox One's operating system consumes more RAM.
Okay.
Because the games don't have access to all 8 games. Yeah. It's more like 5 or 6. I'm sure, you know, just RAM speed aside, I don't think there's that much difference between them. The PlayStation 4, well, they both have AMD APUs. APU is an accelerated processing unit, basically a graphics card combined with a CPU. They both have 8-core CPUs in them, but on the PlayStation 4, a lot more of the die is taken up by the cores. It actually has more graphic cores than the Xbox One. But in the place of the more graphic cores, the Xbox One actually has a lot of RAM built right into the die, like 47 megabytes or something like that. So I'm not sure what that's all about.
Hmm.
But it would be, you know, ultra-fast RAM.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was the trade-off they went with. So we'll have to see.
What do they put in them for hard drive still? Is it just like a 7200 RPM drive?
It's probably 5400. It was 5400, but previous console were 5400.
Yeah, that's true.
Xbox One had a 5400 RPM Samsung solid, not solid state, spinner drive.
Because it's more like a laptop hard drive.
That's the same thing that was in previous consoles. Yeah. 3.5-inch hard drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been thinking about building a new computer with a solid-state drive, but I haven't yet.
Yeah. That's something I want to tack onto mine at some point. That's about all I need to do to it. And I don't even need to do it, but...
When I play Battlefield, like, we need to play later tonight, so it doesn't mean you're dead.
Yes.
Yeah, Parker and Tusk, they load in way faster than I do.
Yeah.
They have solid-state drives.
Yeah, it definitely makes a difference, so...
So, speaking of winning generations, tablets, do you think they're going to destroy gaming? Well, not destroy gaming as we know it, change it as we know it. Will they kill consoles? I mean, they sell a shit ton of tablets.
They do, but, I mean, the thing that's weird with tablets is that you would think the first thing that they would destroy would be, like, portable gaming, you know, like the 3DS and all that, but the 3DS still seems to be successful.
Oh yeah, very much so.
Now, I guess maybe the reason for that potentially could be is that the 3DS is just, I don't have one, so maybe I'm off base, but it's basically just a gaming system, right?
You can get, like, Netflix and some other apps for it, yeah.
Okay, because I was thinking, you know, maybe parents might like that, you know, it's like a tablet, it's like there's all sorts of other stuff you can get into on it. Compared to, you know, like, just a gaming system. But if, I guess, the gaming system can do that too. But maybe it doesn't have as many apps as, say, like, a tablet would, so...
Yeah, even though tablet's much more expensive.
Yeah.
And well, they even made that 2DS. Did you see that thing?
Yes, yeah. It was an interesting move. Does the... What's the other thing? The Vita? Is that thing even selling?
PlayStation Vita. I don't think they've sold that many of them.
That was the one where when that came out, I was just like, what is the point of this? Like, who will buy this?
The PSP was, like, secretly really successful. It was, like, far and away the most successful non-Nintendo portable. I mean, they sold, like, 50 or 60 million of them.
Yeah, that was the thing with that. It's like, everybody was looking at it like, oh, it's not doing that well. But it's like, well, that's only relative to the Nintendo.
Oh, it was my own reflection.
Oh. But it's like, it's only relative to the crazy success of, like, the DS. But,
yeah.
But it's like, yeah, it's sold just fine. It, you know, it's just like somebody trying to say, like, the Xbox 360 and PS3 weren't successful because the Wii sold more than them. You know, it doesn't make sense. It's like all three were successful. But yeah, I don't know, because, yeah, tablets, I mean, for a decent tablet, there's all these, like, cheap-ass, like, Android, you know, 3 years ago Android tablets out there that, you know, you can buy for, like, $50.
China Pad.
That are garbage, you know, but one that can play any sort of decent games is going to cost you a bit of money, and it's much more fragile than, you know, like a console or whatever, you know, like we found out with your iPad, you know, that day. You know,
like, well, people would say, it's like, oh, well, a tablet will never replicate the home gaming experience. It can't. It's like, that's stupid. I mean, you can get, like, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas for your phone.
Yeah.
It's like a game that, you know, yeah, it'll take about 10 years, but, you know, you'll be able to run Skyrim on the iPhone 10.
Yeah.
It'll happen. It's just part of how technology advances.
So do you think with that they'll make it where, and maybe you can even do this right now. I mean, I'm not
sure. Oh, use the tablet as a station and then have a remote control.
Have it hook into your TV so it would actually display on the TV.
Well, you could do that with the NVIDIA Shield.
What the hell is that?
Oh, you haven't seen that thing?
No.
It's picture like a big fat 360 controller with a screen built into it.
Okay.
So it's like a Android gaming controller tablet, like the screen folds up.
Hmm.
But then you can hook it up to your TV and then hook up another controller via Bluetooth. And then you can also stream games off your PC to the controller, or stream the games off your PC to the controller and into a separate TV. Because apparently streaming's the thing. Like,
wow.
That's what the Steam Box does.
That's interesting. I hadn't heard about that thing at all. So
the NVIDIA Shield. Apparently people have bought them.
Oh, it's actually out?
Oh, yeah. I saw it at... Oh, God. I can't remember which... I go to so many goddamn conventions now. E3.
Huh.
Yeah. NVIDIA Shield. NVIDIA. Oh, I remember something else we were going to talk about before we move on to movies. BioShock Infinite. You remember?
Yes. Oh,
for some reason,
right.
I
wanted
to talk about that.
Yeah. Well, before we get on to that, like, with the will there be a next-gen thing, we probably should touch on that.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, like, to me, I could see the next gen, yeah, not being, like, a new physical piece of hardware, but, you know, something like Xbox Live would become an app, you know, that, you know, TVs, you know, eventually are going to be even more app-centric than they already are becoming.
Is that possible?
Yeah, I don't know, but it's like, you know, Xbox Live would essentially become this app that you subscribe to, you know, just like you do today, except you don't need this physical piece of hardware for
the
it
game
to run
stream
on.
To you.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that happening someday.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would be soon enough to, you know, be at the takeover after this generation, but, I mean, you look at how far
there's
shit's
a lot
come.
Of latency in that, though.
True. But it's like, you just look at how far shit's come, like, just in 5 years, with, like, the way the internet is, and I don't know, it's hard to say where it's going to go, but I could see something like that happening with, like, an Xbox Live, and...
Well, watching a movie is a one-way experience, whereas a game, you know, you have to send an input,
yeah.
Then it has to send you a response.
What was that one thing when we were at E3, the...
On Live?
Yeah, On Live, because yeah. That ended up failing, right? Did Sony buy them?
No, Sony bought Gaikai, which is a separate service.
Okay. But OnLive failed, right? Or is it still around?
It went bankrupt, but I think it still technically exists.
Oh, okay.
But the problem with OnLive was they basically needed a client computer for every instance of the game, so it had no scalability.
Okay.
And NVIDIA has something that's called, I think AMD has it as well, where they basically, they have APUs that actually can run 4 instances of a game at once, or different games.
Yeah.
So if they can, like, virtualize that more, it might be more feasible, which I'm sure is what they want to do in the future.
Yeah, because then they can control it completely, so...
I guess the thing with streaming games, if it worked, I would have no problem with it. I don't give a shit about physical media anymore. Well, of course, I still bought Iron Man 3 on Blu-ray, because it's Iron Man.
Oh, yeah. I still care about physical media with movies, because I run into it, like, I buy a lot of Blu-rays because I'm a big movie buff, and a lot of them anymore come with digital copies, and
yep.
A lot of the time I'll just be lazy man sitting in my chair, and I've got, like, my Cinema Now app on my PS3 that ties into Ultraviolet, so all of my Ultraviolet movies show up, and... Just in the last couple of weeks, there's been 2 or 3 times where I've been streaming a movie through that, and the network connection has gone to shit and failed.
And it happens a lot at home with when I watch movies on my Xbox.
Yeah, and so to me, I'm like, guess what? Physical media takes all that shit out of the picture.
Of course, you know? Now, here's the part where someone would say, if America would invest in its internet infrastructure, blah, blah, blah. Like, America's a big
it's
country.
Huge. Yeah.
Yes, it's the same reason why we all drive cars.
Yeah.
Versus other countries, there's more space and distance that you need a car for that you have to put cables over.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the internet gets faster on its own. I mean, like, every charter gets faster all the time.
Yeah.
Although at home, it's like right here, I shouldn't jinx it, but like here it's rock solid, but it's a business account. I think, like, on average, if I watch a, because when I rent a movie, I always just use my Xbox, because I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And I think it's about once per movie it'll stop and I have to, like, reconnect Xbox Live. That's pretty lame.
Yeah, it's...
Like when I was watching Pacific Rim, which isn't as good as Fanboys say it is.
Oh, yeah, I finally watched that too when I was...
Nothing happens for the whole middle of the movie.
Boring.
I mean, it was all right, but it's just like... It's like, nothing happens. Like, they basically have to have characters talking for an hour to save money.
Yes. That's what I thought too. Because every part where they're not talking, it's like, yeah, you can see the budget on the screen. There's no doubt about that.
Well, it's like Walking Dead. It's like, you know, it's a soap opera with zombies because, you know, putting all that zombie makeup on costs money. Having extra people on screen costs money.
Yeah.
Unless you're Game of Thrones, then you just do whatever you want, apparently. Oh!
Uh-oh.
So all they have to do with Game of Thrones is at the end... The midget guy has to beat the shit out of the king. That's what everybody wants to see.
Yes.
That's going to be awesome. He's going to kick his ass, too.
Yeah, Joffrey's a douchebag.
I like Game of Thrones a lot, but I think the insane boy king, petulant idiot trope has been used way too often.
Yeah. I mean, he is very good because he makes you hate him. There's no doubt about that. You want to see nothing but bad things happen to that kid.
Well, isn't the premise, I mean, he's mad because of inbreeding.
Incest,
just
yeah.
Like why Tyrell is a midget, mm-hmm. because of inbreeding. And not just Sarah Connor and what's-his-face banging.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, throughout, you know,
the lineage in those, you know, the lineage of the Lannisters and all the kings, there would be a lot of inbreeding.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's kind of, you know, shorthand. Like, yes, there's a lot of inbreeding going on.
Yeah. And the best thing about that show is that, like, nobody is safe. That's my favorite thing. I mean, I won't say anything to spoil anything, but it's just like there's characters where it's like, oh, you know, this is a key character. They're not going anywhere. Oh, well, shit.
Oh, no, Tyrell Lannister. They won't kill him. No way.
You never know.
People would stop watching the show if they did.
It doesn't matter what the show does. It matters what happens in the books. So
it'd be like Mike and Chris stopping, not watching Lost after Maggie and Grace got shot.
Yeah, it's like, what, Evangeline Lilly wasn't good enough for you guys? I guess she's not blonde, so. But, yeah, I don't know. I like Tyrion Lannister a lot, the dad.
Oh, yeah.
Charles Dance plays him.
You ever notice that show is like the greatest employer of gingers in Hollywood?
Yeah.
Because you call it Game of Gingers. Oh, speaking of Lena Headey, the Dragon Woman, apparently she's like in the front running to play Sarah Connor in the Terminator reboot.
Oh, they're going to reboot that?
Of course they are. It's a movie.
Yeah, I guess. Somebody owns it, so.
Seems like there was some movie reboot that I... Oh, no, I didn't.
Who the hell even owns that now? Because it was like Carolco.
Oh, who's that rich woman that like produced Zero Dark Thirty? Like,
oh,
Ellison or something? What's her name?
Kathleen Ellison?
She's like some sort of rich woman who produces a lot of these movies that nobody would pay for otherwise.
Oh, okay.
I think she bought the rights. Not related to Harlan Ellison, who, like, you know, sued James Cameron for the Terminator story.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Well, Dragon Woman is going to rip shit up when she gets Westeros or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. That should be badass. That'll throw a big wrench into things.
All right, so with the next gen, I don't know how we got to Game of Thrones from next gen.
How can you not?
I could see there being some kind of like Steam box or like an open standard, kind of like the 3DO was supposed to be back in the day.
Yeah.
Because 3DO is a system you'd license to manufacture. I could see that being the case. So it's kind of like a moving target with the spec.
Yeah.
And just because, I don't know. Technology is going to move so much faster than these consoles. I mean, they're like, oh, yes, we're going to commit 10 years to the PS4 and Xbox One. No way.
Yeah,
no way they're going to last that long. Think about it. There's cell phones, like 2 gigs of RAM is pretty common in a cell phone.
Yeah.
There'll be cell phones with 8 gigs of RAM by 2015.
Probably.
You know, that technology is going to advance so quickly. So I could see new consoles by 2020, definitely, or whatever the new console ends up being.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way they can stretch it as long as they did the last generation.
But if you look at everything, everything is turning into software as a service. So your streaming idea could definitely jive with that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it seems like, I mean, that's definitely what they want to do. You know, whether
or not, of course,
whether
they can monetize it more.
Yeah, whether or not they can make it happen in the time frame they need it to, that's another story.
See, here's the thing. I think playing an Xbox game without the disc in would have been super handy.
Yeah, that would have been great.
It's like when I was playing, whatchamacallit, the pirate game, Black Flag, your favorite Dido song.
that is a good song, actually.
Was it Black Flag or White Flag?
Oh, shit. I thought there was black something.
Yeah.
There's some sort of flag. I know there's white. Yeah, maybe it is white flag.
So when you put the disc in, or have the disc in on the home screen, which thankfully is actually filled with useful things, not ads.
That's nice.
There's 2 icons. It'll be like play Assassin's Creed and then play Assassin's Creed disc. So you can clearly see where you were going to be able to launch the installed game without the disc. And they kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater when they, you know, went back on, you know, reverted a lot of those things they had planned. Not all that stuff was awful.
Yes, yeah.
And as a PC gamer, buying a game and not being able to sell it, I have no problem with that.
Give a shit.
I mean,
yeah.
Steam has how many users and none of them care?
Yep.
I mean, granted, I'm older and I have more money than I did when I was like 19. That's an obvious statement. But I'm older than I am when I was 19. I'm just saying there's a lot of cool features that, or like you would actually could share games with your friends.
Yes,
like your friends could try a game that you had. And that stuff was cool, and we'll never see it now.
Yeah, I remember there was like, after they said, oh, we're going to, you know, renege on all this stuff, there was a petition online that started circling of people that were like, no, put it back, like, put the DRM back. You know, of course it didn't go anywhere, but it was interesting, you know, that there were a lot of people that, yeah, were pissed off, because it's like, guess what? There were a lot of cool features in there that now have been eliminated because of that, so...
It's forever lost, like tears in the rain.
Yeah, it's like me, I've got, you know, games sitting around. It's like I never take them, you know, to pre-played or any place to get money back for them.
Well, it's because you're money bags IT guy.
Maybe I should have, but I didn't.
Apparently there's some game place. Actually, it's right next to Glass Nickel. I should check it out sometime. It's like a mom-and-pop game shop.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Hmm. Nice. Yeah, I haven't even seen...
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I haven't even seen the Xbox One's dashboard yet, I don't think. I briefly saw the PS4s, but that's the amount of my exposure to this generation so far. I saw Battlefield 4 get played for like 15 minutes on a PS4.
So. Yeah, so unfortunately we really can't speak to the next gen. I played both of them at E3, and I had an Xbox One, and then I took it apart for my show, so I don't have it. Oh, you could. It has a game DVR, so if you do something cool in a game, you can say Xbox record that, and it actually records the last 30 seconds.
Oh,
so you can say it after something cool happens. I don't know if you can stream the whole game like you can with the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, like with Twitch, isn't that the big thing on there?
Yeah, there's quite a few features that are behind the Xbox Gold paywall.
Yeah,
I haven't had Xbox Gold in years because there's no point for me to have it. That was a little disappointing. Like, Skype would be cool on it, but no, Xbox Gold. Maybe in a year when there's more games, I'll spring for Gold, but there's, you know, I don't need to now. Because
It's still pretty cheap, right? Like, what is
no,
it?
No, it went up to $60.
But still, I mean, if you spread that over a year, you know, it's like $5 a month.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Well, you know me, I'm really chintzy and cheap until I'm not.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't had Gold in ages either. I used it recently when I was using HBO Go on there, but I had a whole bunch of those old, like, free, like, 1 week or, you know, whatever of Xbox Gold cards queued up, and so I had them, like, all piled there, and so I just would use those, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna watch season 3 of Game of Thrones, and then it's like, oh, shit, I gotta pop in another card, because I can't use HBO Go now, and then I watched the news room. Yeah, it was interesting, but yeah, I haven't had Gold in like good couple of years, probably. It's just like haven't had cable in like 3 years, and because it's like if I don't use it, why burn the money on it?
See, that's the one thing I don't understand with the Xbox One. It's like put your cable box into it.
Yeah,
isn't that kind of going backwards?
Yeah, you'd think it's like why can't I just subscribe to whatever service and just pull it over the internet?
Cable's so expensive. There's no point. I would never watch it. I mean, that's why I can't justify it.
Yeah, it's like...
You can watch the Packers lose over an antenna, so...
Yeah.
Oh, wait,
what
no.
more do you need?
They beat the worst team in the NFL by 1 point last week, so...
Who did they play?
The Falcons?
They're not quite the worst. They're pretty bad, but...
Like the Packers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's like when you tie the Vikings, you know it's a bad season.
See, the thing is, you can look at it two ways. Aaron Rodgers is worth the money... And maybe you should spend some money on the rest of the team.
That's their biggest thing. I mean, it's like... I mean, they've had a lot of injuries this year, but... I mean, Rodgers is good enough that he can help them win some games that they probably shouldn't.
It's like their offense is their defense.
Yes.
Because their defense is nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
But fuck football. That's not interesting.
It's a football blog.
Blah, blah, blah.
You know, I always wanted to make an intro for our podcast called Final Fantasy Football. And the premise would be like how Final Fantasy is basically Dungeons and Dragons for, like, you know, jocks or wannabe jocks. But I couldn't figure out the angle to write the story for.
Yeah. Speaking of fantasy football, I'm in two leagues and I'm in the second round of the playoffs in both. I actually got a bye through the first week in both leagues.
What are you going to do with all your money?
Which means I'll probably lose in both leagues this week. Actually, the one league, if I win it, I get about, it's like $500 or $600. So
there's your PlayStation 4.
That's pretty much what I thought. I'm like, if I win that, then maybe I'll go buy one of these
consoles. Maybe by the next podcast, if we, you know, do it every month, we could talk about a PlayStation 4.
Yeah, so everybody out there, like, cross your fingers and stuff for Jones to win his keeper league, fantasy football league, because then I will have mad money that I can piss away on something I don't really need or want to use.
You will have bad money. Your favorite movie.
Yes. Which leads into Batman, in a way.
Oh, yeah. So what we do is, if for some reason the name of a movie comes up in normal conversation, you have to say it's the other person's favorite movie.
Yes. And it happens way more often than you would think.
Oh, I was rewriting some more dialogue for Ghost Squad, so spoiler warning, I'm going to make you all record more lines.
I figured.
Because everyone on Pinside bitches about the length of the lines. And when you're advancing the modes, yes, because once we turn the game into metal, shot faster, so yeah, there's even less time.
Okay.
Anyway, oh yeah, it's when they're fighting the hotel ghosts, and Allison, I think, would be the one to say this. She's like, I have no reservations about kicking you out of this hotel.
Nice.
So that was a joke from The Dark Knight.
Well, it was because in Dark Knight, Harvey Dent was played by Aaron Eckhart, who was also in the movie No Reservations, which was about him like cooking or something. And
it was basically a live action Ratatouille, right?
Yeah, with Catherine Zeta Jones, and
who would have been a great Wonder Woman.
Yeah, she would. 15 years in the day.
God, she was hot.
Yeah,
she was almost Jennifer Connelly. Who is Noah's wife?
That's what Michael Douglas said when he, you know, proposed to her. He's like, you're almost Jennifer Connelly. Will you marry me?
and then Paul Bettany's like, ha ha ha, sucks to be you. I'm Paul Bettany. I am Jarvis.
I am British, so she will marry me. But
I will woo her.
But yeah, the no reservations thing was then, it's the scene where, yeah, like, he shoots the dude in the car and the car flips over. And so yep. We were like, I have no reservations about shooting the driver. And then he goes, thank you for smoking.
Yep, it was that great.
Because he was in that movie too. You had to be there, but it's pretty funny.
Does
so.
Two-Face even put on his seatbelt before he does that?
He does.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because remember, there, you see him in the shot before he reaches back and he pulls the seatbelt down.
If you have a seatbelt on and your car flips over 3 times, you'll be perfectly safe.
Oh, yeah, you're good to go.
I guess if you already had half your face burned off, and somehow your muscles in your mouth still work well enough for you to speak somehow.
Yes.
You'll be fine. You're tough.
Do you have anything to lose at that point, really? You know?
I don't know.
I mean, it's like, who gives a shit? Half my face is gone.
Well, maybe that happened in a cooking accident when he was having no reservations.
Maybe he should have had reservations, and then that wouldn't have happened.
So, okay. So, for some reason, the topic of Batman, then and now, came up. This is in reference to the Tim Burton 1989 movie and 1992 sequel.
Isn't that crazy to say, like, 1989? Like, next year it will be 25 years since that movie came out.
The weird thing is I remember 1989.
I mean, that is the crazy thing.
It really old.
Because I remember, like, the lead-up to that movie. It was,
lots of hype.
Like, I don't know if there has ever been a movie as hyped as that Batman movie. Even nowadays, I mean, stuff gets built up a lot, but...
Well, there's just so much merchandising for it everywhere.
Yeah, it was crazy.
You know, Jaws and Star Wars kind of invented the summer blockbuster, but Batman invented the hype opening weekend. I mean, it still made tons of money past its opening weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot more than movies usually do now, but it was all about that opening weekend, yeah.
Because didn't it make, like, 40-something, which was, like, enormous at that time?
And then, you know, went on to make $250 million, which... So, like, nowadays a movie, its total run will be, like, you know, the opening weekend times 4. And, you know, so movies actually still had more legs back then.
Yeah, and I looked it up on Box Office Mojo the other day, and, like, you know, inflation-adjusted dollars, like, that $250 million gross would be, like, about $500 million today.
There was a big deal.
I mean, you know, you compare that to, like, the biggest movies nowadays, and, I mean, it's, you know, basically bests all of them, except for something made by James Cameron in the last 15 years, or The Avengers, so.
I think Batman was, like, it was, like, the cool movie to go see. It was kind of weird. I mean, I would think a lot of people wouldn't really like it.
Yeah.
Because Dark Knight was kind of more, I don't want to say homogenized, but it was more straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 89's Batman had, you know, musical numbers by Prince and all this other weird stuff.
Yeah, it's very much a product of the 80s.
See, but, yeah. So we both have recently rewatched 89 Tim Burton Batman, and we're going to argue over its merits for a little bit.
Yes, yeah, so. So yeah, I just watched it, God, it must have been like maybe Monday night for some reason. I was sitting around, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to pop that in. I haven't watched it in a long time, and
I'm tired of worshiping Christopher Nolan. I need to see a real Batman movie. That's what you thought, right?
I don't know if that's what I thought, but I watched it and I was just... It's weird, like, maybe my rose-colored glasses are off. Like, the older I get, like, the movies of my youth, I look at them a bit more critically. Like,
well, of course.
Like, even Star Wars and stuff, you know, I can look at those and be like, you know, they're really not as great as...
Star Wars is a much more solid movie than 89 Batman.
I would agree with that, yeah. But yeah, I was watching it and, you know, there's just so much stuff where I'm just like, what the hell is going on here? Like, Alfred is the most incompetent butler of all time in that movie.
What do you mean? He picks up that pen after Michael Keaton sticks it in the plant? He was a super confident butler.
But, like, there's that scene, you know, where, like, Bruce Wayne brings Kim Basinger home.
Right.
And gets her drunk and then beds her. And then it's like
who wouldn't do that?
I mean, I don't blame him. By the way, she's horrible in that movie, though.
All she does is scream.
Yeah.
She's like Steven Spielberg's wife from Temple of Doom.
Oh, God, Kate Capshaw.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe she was, you know, emulating that performance. But so, it's the next morning. Alfred knows my boss is Batman.
Yep.
So, what does he do? Bruce gives her the story about, like, oh, yeah, I'm going out of town for a while, so I'll be able to hang out.
I love that scene, because she wakes him up and he actually acts tired.
Yes. I mean, that's fine. Sure. But it's like, he gives her this little story, like, oh, I'm going out of town for a while, so, you know, I'll have to catch up with you when I get back, you know, so you can, you know, go be Batman and shit.
Yep.
And she comes downstairs, and Alfred greets her.
Oh, yeah,
and
Alfred says that we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, and it's just like, what the fuck, dude? It's like, you're Batman's butler. It's like, you know...
Well, he wasn't in the bedroom listening, you know, to what Batman said.
But he should know enough that it's like, you know what? This chick that my boss just banged comes downstairs and says, like, oh, I'll see you guys when you get back. That probably means he just fed her some bullshit saying, oh, I'm going to be out of town for a while. You know, I probably should just say, oh, yes, ma'am, I look forward to
seeing
you.
Well, I mean, on the same token, like, did Alfred build all that shit in Batman's basement? I mean, at least the new movies has, you know, what's his face?
Lucius Fox.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know, there's just stuff like that where I'm like, I mean... Don't get me wrong, I still think the movie's fun and stuff, but it's just, it's got a lot of issues. And then later on, as if that wasn't bad enough, later on he brings her right into the Batcave.
Oh, that's right!
I'm just like, what the hell, dude? What are you thinking?
Well, there's a missing scene. See, now, if that was a modern movie like Hobbit, you would have seen this scene where she knocks on the door and is like, yes, may I help you, miss? And she's like, I know Bruce Wayne is Batman. Oh, bugger. All right, well, follow me.
He's like, oh, fine, the gig's up.
But, you know, that movie was under 2 hours, like movies used to be.
Yes.
And you infer that happened. You know, it's been implied.
I guess you could. Because, I mean, he did try to tell her on a couple of occasions that he was, but still.
When the Joker conveniently shot him with the smallest gun in his arsenal.
Yes. And they never shoot him in the face. Because, you know, why would you want to do that?
Well, same thing with RoboCop. And just shoot him in the mouth.
Yep.
By the way, the new RoboCop movie is going to bomb.
Who's even making that?
It's some nobody shampoo music video director. But Michael Keaton's in it.
Oh, nice.
Actually, it's got a pretty good cast. It's got Michael Keaton, Gary Oldman, Sam Jackson. I mean, Sam motherfucking Jackson.
Yes.
Anyway, back to Batman. Well, first of all, I think it does one thing that movies never do anymore. It had, like, kind of an artistic style.
Yes.
The music was phenomenal.
Yeah, the score is great. Yeah.
That's, like, half the movie. You know, it was... I don't want to, you know, I don't think anyone's an auteur. I mean, Tim Burton, someone might call him that, but I'm sorry, is he out there painting the set himself? But, you know, it really had a signature style. And you could, you know, Christopher Nolan movies did too. But, and it just had all this blockbuster shit in it, if that makes any sense. Yeah. It was more of a...
It was more like set pieces almost. Yeah. And
it had all this goofy shit, like, who was the guy? Alexander Knox, the guy who works with Vicki Vale. And he's always trying to hit on her and making all these comments, and that kind of stuff was fun. And you don't see, like, that blatant, like, sexism and horniness in movies. Like, the first thing he says to her is, hello, legs.
Yeah.
I mean, just all that goofy shit is not in movies anymore.
Yeah.
Like, the scene where Joker broadcasts on television where he's, like, killing people. Yeah. They would never have that in a movie nowadays. Not because it was too macabre, but just because it was so goofy.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. And yeah, like, where he has that commercial where it's like, you know, new and improved Joker products. And he's, like, pushing that shopping cart through the store.
And he's got that fake bird on his lunch. Yeah. Even your Undertaker won't know for sure.
Because he remember those lines 25 years later, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Nicholson, you know, he had a lot of great moments, you know, like, wait till they get a load of me.
I mean, he just plays Jack Nicholson with white face paint.
Yeah, but it works, and he does inject, you know, nice little doses of crazy every now and then. Like, he'll just throw in that stuff where he's just kind of like, meow, 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 meow. You know, like, I don't know, he did do really good, and I mean, that was the thing, you know, like, when they said they were going to put the Joker in the second Nolan movie, and everybody was kind of like, who the hell can, like, you know, top what Nicholson did, but, you know, Ledger took it, like, in a completely different direction.
Yeah,
has made it his own, and, you know, they're both, like, equally great, and...
Yeah, well, you know, Heath Ledger disappeared into the role, whereas Nicholson's Joker was a movie star performance.
Yes, yeah, that's a good way of looking at
it. I mean, like, what would have happened if Kevin Costner would have been Gandalf in Lord of the Rings? I mean, he almost was.
Yeah.
It would have been, like, Gandalf the Ring, you know?
Yeah.
Frodo, I'm going to do every fight for you. I'll take anal bumhole covers.
And one thing I'd say, too, for the Burton Batman, I mean, I love the Nolan movies, and I prefer them greatly, but, like, what I would say is, like, for the Burton one is, like, the Batwing is awesome. Like, it's way better than the stupid bat thing that they put in Dark Knight.
Right, because it's meant to look cool and artistic.
Yeah.
Like, when it flies up into the moon,
yeah,
it makes no sense.
But it's so, yeah, it's such a great moment.
Yeah, yes, it's like one of those things,
well, it's just iconic. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I love the part where it's like, and then all the music comes to a stop,
yeah,
and it goes in front of the moon.
Yeah, and it's like, why is he even doing this?
Because it left hearts out.
Yep. Well, I love that too, when he takes the balloons, you know, and chops them,
yeah,
and then he, like, lets them go, and it's like, where are they going to end up? Is he going to go somewhere and, like, kill a bunch of people?
Because his Batwing has a convenient balloon-catching wire gripper on it.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't care, because it's so awesome. Even though he can't... So then he tries to outright murder the Joker with his missiles.
Yeah, and he completely fails.
And the Joker pulls out that big, stupid gun and shoots him once and brings down the super high-tech Batwing. I guess when you let a 75-year-old build your equipment, that's why it breaks. But the thing is, yeah, again, it's so stupid, like, how did Joker's henchman get to the top of the tower?
Yes.
It makes no sense, but it's so cool where they, you know, I can't remember what song it is they played. They play like that weird waltz while Batman's fighting the guys, and they climb up this gothic cathedral. It stylistically, it has such a great look.
Yes, yeah.
And that's something that you really don't see in any modern superhero movies at all. They're just like Chicago, New York. New York, Chicago,
yes.
Chicago, New York.
Yeah, it's like insert metropolitan, you know, generic metro area here, and that's it. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly been movies where they try that and they fail, like The Shadow, where Alec Baldwin is Chinese for some reason. Yeah.
Because he's Alec Baldwin, I guess.
Well, I also really liked, just like the style, like everyone like kind of wore like 40s overcoats, and
yeah,
the costume design was really cool. For no reason, What's-Her-Face had a different hairstyle in every scene. Bassinger.
Yeah, because she had like that, like, what was it, like a kind of a cornrow thing almost in that one part.
Oh, yeah.
It was like this weird braid thing. I mean, it looked good, but yeah, I mean, yeah, and the costumes, I think that was a good choice, you know, because it helps the movie not age as much
right.
by having them in more, like, period-type clothing instead of having them... Like, imagine if they were all dressed up and had hairstyles, you know, like the 80s, you know, running around in it. You know, it'd be kind of horrific to watch now. So, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's definitely fun still, but it is interesting, though, when you watch it, and you kind of wonder if Nolan didn't have some little nods to it. Because the scene where, like, the Batwing is coming at the Joker, it's kind of like the scene in Dark Knight
when
the truck's coming at
him.
The pod thing or whatever, and yeah, he's like, hit me, hit me!
And then he can't.
Yeah. So there's stuff like that that, you know, maybe Nolan, that was kind of his way of, you know, recognizing what came before in a subtle way or whatever. But, yeah, I don't know. I just watched it, and it was a movie, you know, I used to love, and now I'm just kind of like, oh, you know, it's not what I remember it being.
I still love it for what it is, although the one thing that really struck me upon watching it, like, a couple months ago was that there's basically no plot whatsoever in it.
That's true. It's just like, well, we've got Batman and we've got the Joker. And,
yeah, basically the plot is he turns into the Joker and then he wants to poison people. That is the entire movie.
Yeah.
There's no plot.
And you don't know where that $20 million came from either.
Well, he probably got it from Jack Palance, you know? But another thing is, like, there would never be a scene where the villain impersonates another actor within the movie to another character. Remember, he's like,
yep.
You are my number one guy.
That is a great moment. Oh, Boss Grissom.
Oh, I love the part where Batman falls in the museum, and he sticks that thing right in Joker's face.
Yeah,
and then it goes...
Yeah, that is cool when he falls through the skylight.
Oh,
that was a really neat moment.
The Bat car is infinitely cooler in Burton's movie. It looks badass.
It looks cool. I do like the tumbler, though.
The tumbler makes more sense, but...
Yeah, but aesthetically, yes, the Burton one is...
Just like flying from the moon makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like if you said, which one would you rather drive down the road? Yeah, it'd be the Burton one. So, although on the Beltline some days, the tumbler would be pretty cool, because I could just knock everybody out of my way.
See, you know, in Batman, in Batman Begins, when he was trying to save Dawson's Creek, he caused billions of dollars of property damage. I mean, I know he's Bruce Wayne and all, but... Yeah.
That sequence was really awesome in that movie. I love that scene. There's like an
energy
to it. And like when he's ripping down the road, weaving in between the cars of that thing. And
wasn't it in the second movie where that guy tried to blackmail him? And he's like, I know you've been driving around that thing and some squashing police cars all over the city. And
yes.
And he brought up a good point. I mean, Batman causes a lot of destruction.
Yep.
But so does the Joker.
See, that's the good thing about that movie, Hancock. They kind of addressed that.
Hancocking it.
Have you seen that one?
I completely forgot it, but yeah, I saw it.
Because, yeah, they kind of addressed that in that movie where, like, he goes and saves, like, these kids or whatever for some burning building or whatever the hell happened. But in the process of doing that, like, he causes all sorts of property damage and people are interviewing him. And they're like, well, do you realize you caused, like, you know, $10 million of property damage? Do you really think it was worth it to, you know, save these, like, three people? And, you know, who's going to pay for that? And I thought it was kind of funny because it was around the time of, like, you know, the Batman movies. And it's like, oh, somebody, you know, thought to try to address that in a movie. And it's kind of amusing. So
the Batman Returns, though, I think we're in agreement on that one.
Oh, yeah. If basically subtract Michelle Pfeiffer from that movie and there's absolutely no reason for it to exist at
all. Michelle Pfeiffer doesn't even really get you that far in it because it's a slog.
Yeah. I mean, you know, she does what she can. The best scene in that movie is probably where... It's her and Keaton, and they're at that dance, and they're dancing with each other, and then there's moment where they realize who each other is.
Yep.
That was really good.
And then
good.
They act like they want to kill each other, but they can't do anything.
Yes.
Although, if you ever notice, every bad movie has a masquerade ball scene in it.
Yeah, for some reason.
Van Helsing, Batman Returns, Wild Wild West. There's got to be more. Any of the Joel Schumacher Batman movies. They had a masquerade ball in every one of those goddamn things. Everyone of all, both of them. I will say that, you know what's weird? I've watched Batman and Robin far more times than I've seen any of the Nolan Batmans.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
I've watched it more than I ever thought I would. I've probably like three or four times.
It's a spectacularly wonderful, terrible movie.
Yeah. I know we watched it twice for shitty movie night.
I've probably seen it five times at least.
That's right, because what was it, for like your birthday or something? I bought you like that double disc.
Oh,
DVD,
yeah,
I totally watched
the commentary on it, too.
I knew you would. I was like, I saw that, and I'm like, Ben needs this.
Joel Schumacher says, like, a lot of people like to blame Akiva Goldsman for this movie, but ultimately, I shot this shit.
That's pretty awesome that he, you know, owned up to it.
Well, the problem with that one was, we should probably move on to a different topic pretty soon, but Batman Forever is just as bad or worse than Batman and Robin.
It's not even entertainingly bad.
It's just bad. But it succeeded because it had Jim Carrey in it.
Yeah.
And so they're basically like, oh, well, obviously people love this movie, so let's make another one of these dumb things. But Arnold Schwarzenegger is so hilarious in Batman and Robin. Just so cheesy.
Yeah, he just seems like he's having the time of his life in that movie.
That'd be great, just like shooting guns at people and saying, freeze.
You're not sending me to the cooler.
He's like, I will freeze everything on Earth so plants can take over. It makes no sense. That makes far less sense than Joker's poison plan.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's definitely a movie. But yes, it's high on the entertainingly bad scale, that's for sure. Right up there with, you know, not quite Dungeons & Dragons quality, but it's up there.
There is no bad movie better than Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, it's just, it's impossible.
Oh, the other day we were impersonating Profion. We were walking around like this. And look... Oh, no, Allison bought a new monopod, right?
That was a monopod.
A monopod is a tripod that has like one stick. Oh. So it's lighter to carry and stuff when you're like on location.
Does it have like kind of a plunger thing on it, or how does it?
Just imagine a tripod that only has one stick.
How does it stand up?
It doesn't. You hold it, but then you don't have to worry about the weight of the camera.
I get it. Okay.
Anyway, so she's like, "This is my dragon staff," because in Dungeons & Dragons, the premise was Profion, the bad guy,
Jeremy Irons,
wanted the dragon staff to control the dragons and take over the star of Academy Award winning American Beauty, Thor Birch, or Kingdom of Dragons or whatever.
I remember, like, the very beginning of that movie, you know how awesome it's going to be, because, like, his introduction is just him coming down those stairs with, like, his arms extended, like, hooks coming down the stairs
that's how
toward the camera.
It's like, you know immediately what he's... He's so wonderfully bad at it.
Yeah, you could tell that he just knew it was absolute garbage, and he's like, I'm going to chew every last bit of scenery on this
set. How far I can take this.
Yeah, he probably just kept pushing the boundaries, and he's like, huh, the director isn't saying not to do that. I'm just going to see how much further I can take.
Look at the end where he's like, let the blood rain from the sky! No matter how much you impersonate it, you cannot even come close to what it's actually like. So you know when people usually impersonate movies, like weird science, like, how about a nice greasy sandwich, and, you know...
Yeah.
He doesn't say it like that at all in the movie. It's much, you know, much more subdued, or like in Aliens, you know.
Yeah, you always overdo it. When
get away from her, you bitch! He doesn't quite say it like that, but Profion in Dungeons & Dragons, he's dialed to 12 in every scene.
Yeah, he's like, you know, if you ever see Bruce Springsteen in concert where, like, the veins are, like, bulging out of his neck, that's basically Jeremy Irons as Profion in Dungeons & Dragons.
If you like bad movies, you owe it to yourself to see Dungeons & Dragons, New Line Cinema movie from the year 2000.
Yes. Do not watch the sequel, though.
And do not watch The Room. You dodged a bullet on that one, Jones.
Oh, thank God.
Okay, so... guess we should briefly talk about the Avengers effect. This can't be a 3-hour podcast like you and Dale do. I just don't see how you do that.
That's all right. We'll manage here.
So I've been noticing there's an Avengers effect where, oh, we had this idea for the cheap Chinese knockoff of the Avengers. It was called the Revengers.
Okay.
And we were playing Call of Duty and we renamed all our characters to Revengers characters. There's Metal Man, Boobies Woman, Angry Black Guy, Green Steroid Man, Major Canada.
Major Canada.
Can't remember who else. Oh, Super Arrow Guy. You're like this really cheap toy you might find in the market. We probably were more amused by that than anyone else would possibly be.
It's one of those you had to be there things, I'm sure.
So, every studio is now cramming as many heroes as they can into their upcoming superhero movies. It's not just Batman versus Superman. Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man, the fake Spider-Man movies, I might add. Sorry.
I actually liked Amazing Spider-Man quite a bit.
I've heard it's good. I'm sure it is. I will watch it. Out of solidarity for Sam Raimi.
It's got Emma Stone.
Oh, I don't really care about Emma Stone. Anyway, but that movie has 3 villains in it already.
Does it have any other heroes? Like, are they trying to sneak anybody
else
in?
It's like Spider-Man has to fight Rhino, Electric Man, Electro, and the Green Goblin's back again already.
Really?
See, that was what was so great about Sam Raimi's Spider-Man. Green Goblin was cheesy, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it was fantastic. He's like, Defoe, just go chew scenery, have fun.
Oh, my favorite scene was when he's got Spider-Man drugged on the top of that building.
Oh,
and he like leans up to him like he's in a bar.
Yeah.
He's like, here's the real true Spider-Man. I love Sam Raimi's first 2 Spider-Man movies. Mostly just the second one. Anyway, but they're cramming like all this stuff into Spider-Man 2. Like, even beyond that, like the Sinister Six, whatever that is. I think it's like bad guys.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but...
They've already greenlit another X-Men movie, and they're cramming more mutants into that. And because these other studios have to keep making X-Men and Spider-Man movies as long as they can, otherwise the rights go back to Marvel/Disney.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Do you think this is going to backfire? I mean, like, I think Man of Steel 2 is going to be a clusterfuck.
Yeah, I don't know if... I think Man of Steel 2 will be really successful. Whether or not it'll be a good movie, that's another story, but It's
the first one made like what, $300 million US?
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean it's like, I mean you look at it, just think about it in very broad terms. You know, they can put up on a poster Superman and Batman in the same movie.
How would Superman even? I mean, I'm sorry. How would Batman even fight Superman? Are they going to fight each other?
Yeah, well, like in the comic book, The Dark Knight Returns, that's actually what happens in it.
Okay, how the hell does that even work?
What is it? I'm trying to remember.
Does he get, like, kryptonite gloves or something? Does Alfred build him a kryptonite Batwing?
Well, he has, like, some sort of, like, Batman gets some sort of special suit where it's kind of... And it's interesting because I think Nolan kind of nodded back to this when he did Dark Knight Rises, like, when... Bale's knees all screwed up, and then he puts that, you know, thing
oh,
on
magical cartilage fixing.
And you can hear it make like a mechanical sound when he puts it on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is kind of a nod back to that because Dark Knight Returns is like Batman's been retired, he's been gone for like 10 years, and then he's basically compelled to come back because things are getting so bad in Gotham. And he, but like, yeah, when he goes to fight Superman, because basically the president of the US sends Superman to like deal with Batman. Because he's like this vigilante and all that, and he doesn't like that, I guess.
Okay.
And so, when he goes to fight him, though, he puts on a bunch of gear kind of like that, and so it makes him extra strong.
So he'll basically turn him into Iron Man in the next movie.
Yeah, that's kind of what it boils down to. And then I think he might do something with kryptonite in it. I can't remember, to like help weaken Superman a bit. But yeah, they actually do fight. Like, it's actually Batman against Superman, and so... It's not like they team up or anything. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what storyline they choose to do in the movie. I would think it would have to be something like that, though.
Oh, I'm getting pretty good at doing a New Zod impression. You want to hear it?
Sure.
I will find him, Superman's mom. I will find him with my phantom drive. I have Doc Ock's arms around my neck.
Surprise.
What do you think?
It's a little rough.
I think old Zod could have totally taken this guy.
Maybe.
Old Zod was so cool.
You know what was crazy? Like, I was watching the extras on the Blu-ray for Man of Steel, and...
Steel Man!
And his suit, like, Zod's suit in that movie,
yeah.
It's all CG.
Really?
Yeah. Like, every scene in that movie where he's got in the suit, it's CG. And I was like, damn, they did a good job on that.
Why? It would have been too heavy, I guess?
Yeah, it was too cumbersome, I guess, and, like, it would have limited his movement or something, I don't know, but yeah,
oh,
it's...
that's nuts.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, Russell Crowe...
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed.
Because Russell Crowe, he wears a similar suit, and they actually made his. Probably because he's Russell Crowe.
Well, he's in fewer scenes.
And yeah, and he probably said, I'm Russell Crowe, I want an actual suit.
I am Gladiator. I was bred to be a scientist, and this other guy was bred to be a warrior, but somehow I'm able to beat the shit out of him.
Well, that's because he had all that training in Gladiator.
You know, it's not that I didn't like Man of Steel, there's just a lot of things that didn't make any sense, like the teleporting Lois Lane...
Yes, yeah, yeah.
She can instantly teleport to any scene where she's needed to react to things or fall out of windows. I mean, I'll probably go see Batman versus Superman versus Wonder Woman versus The Flash.
Is The Flash in it, too?
Oh, I don't know if he is or not. Like,
Jesus. I mean, yeah, I saw they put Wonder Woman in it, and I'm like, okay, what? Wasn't having Batman and Superman in the same
they
movie
wanna,
enough?
Well, this is the Avengers effect. They want to go from Zero to Avengers as fast as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't realize, you know, that Batman is being rebooted after 3 years with this movie. I mean, the reboot cycle is getting closer and closer. Eventually, they'll be rebooting movies they haven't made yet, in which case we'll get new films.
Yeah, hey. So it'll happen someday. I mean, I hope what they do with Wonder Woman is they kind of like... bring her in, kind of like how they did Black Widow in Iron
Man
2.
Yeah, she'll be some ancillary character.
Yeah, she's just there, so it's like you get a feel for, oh, I know who she's going to be, or whatever. And then she can get her own movie, or whatever the hell they want to do.
And at the end, it'll be like, thanks, Diana. And she'll be like, call me Wonder Woman. Roll credits.
Dun, dun, dun. But yeah, I mean, they're obviously pushing really hard towards, you know, making
But look at Iron Man 2. Iron Man 2 was basically an Avengers prequel, and it suffered for it.
Mm-hmm.
They had crammed all this crap in. Because,
yeah, I mean, they obviously want to get to Justice League as fast as they can.
Justice League
but...
just sounds cheesy. I guess if you think about Avengers on paper, it doesn't make any sense either.
Yeah, and Avengers, it's weird. I remember I saw that movie in the theater, and I was like, God, this is great. It's just fun. I'm having a good time.
Uh-huh.
Then I watched it at home, and it was really hard to get through it. It was like a single-serving movie for
me. They spend a lot of time on that helicarrier.
Yes, yeah. Probably my favorite scene in it is the one with Loki and Scarlett Johansson, where you think he's like putting one over on her, but then it was actually she got exactly what she wanted out of him. And
okay, Scarlett Johansson versus Rocketeer Jennifer Connelly. What do you think?
Scarlett Johansson.
Oh yeah, she's pretty warm.
She's pretty hot.
Yeah.
Nothing against Connelly. I mean, it's a tough matchup there, so, you know.
Wait a minute. And Paul Bettany was in Avengers as the voice of Jarvis.
Oh, yeah, he was, yeah.
And if you think going back further than that, Paul Bettany was the star of Wimbledon, which had Jon Favreau in it as a character. So it all adds up.
Maybe that's where they met, and when Favreau made Iron Man, he thought of Bettany, probably. So.
Oh, wasn't Jurassic Park Man also in Wimbledon?
Yeah, he was the dad, right?
Yeah.
Of Kirsten Dunst.
You know, I thought that was a really interesting role for Kirsten Dunst, because she usually plays a manic pixie girl, just like Natalie Portman usually does, but in Wimbledon, she was a successful tennis star who just wanted to fuck people.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really an interesting...
Made sense, yeah.
Yeah, it was different, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, oh yeah, I'm just going to fool around with this guy who is the voice of Iron Man's computer butler. I mean, obviously she couldn't help herself.
How can you go wrong?
Wasn't Jim Broadbent in that movie too, as like his dad? Or he had like a treehouse and he watched Wimbledon?
Might have been. I haven't watched that in a long time. But...
So now we're talking about the Kirsten Dunst, Paul Bettany tennis movie called Wimbledon.
Which is your favorite movie.
What was the tagline for that, like, life is... Take life one serve at a time, or...
Oh, God, it's probably.
No, that's too stupid of a tagline.
Are you sure?
What was that movie where Sandra Bullock was allegedly supposed to be a lonely computer nerd, which doesn't make any sense?
The Net?
Yes.
Yeah. I never saw that, probably for good reason.
But you saw Gravity.
Yes, which was awesome.
That was pretty good, because there is gravity in space, despite what anyone might tell you.
Yes. And I got to see it on IMAX as well, which was awesome. So,
don't drop bolts in space, or whatever she did.
Yeah.
Hey, and then Christopher Nolan's next movie is about space.
Is that Interstellar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although it has like an eyeball world. The premise is... Oh, God. You ever notice global warming is like the same thing as atomic power was in the 50s.
The new,
everything is caused by global warming.
Yeah.
Just like every mutant ant, Godzilla, was caused by atomic bombs.
Yeah.
It's like, what is it? The global warming has killed all plants or something on Earth, so they have to go find more plants on another planet or something.
Okay.
So that's kind of a lame premise, but I'll go see it because it's a Christopher Nolan space movie.
Yeah, who's in it? Have they cast anyone?
Well, probably Christian Bale. Who's that guy with big ears?
He should get Hugh Jackman. He hasn't worked with him since The Prestige. You know, it's been a while, so.
I was telling Allison she should see The Prestige. I'm like, it has your favorite person, David Bowie, in it, as Nikola Tesla. And
I actually, like, when I get pressed on what my favorite movie is anymore, I come back to The Prestige. I actually think I would call that my favorite movie anymore.
Wow.
It's, I don't know, it's just so good. And I love how it essentially is a magic trick. Like, its structure is that way. Because at the very end, it's like The Prestige. And
yeah, because it had chapters that were labeled even.
Yeah, it was... I don't know, it's just really cool. And yeah, Bowie's, like, fantastic in it. And Bale and Jackman are, like, as good as they've ever been. And it's just really cool.
It's neat how Christopher Nolan makes, like... You know, he churns out these superhero movies and does a good job. And then he makes completely different movies along the way.
Yeah.
Instead of like Michael Bay making 10 Transformers movies in a row or some shit like that.
Yeah, it's almost like he goes off and he makes a big studio movie that still kind of interests him, but then he's like, okay, I gave you year one, now I'm going to do one for myself. And he goes and makes like, you know, a smaller movie, not that Inception
like
a small
yeah.
movie, but like he did Insomnia, which was a remake,
you know,
but, you know, and then he did like The Prestige. And, you know, it seems like he kind of tries to get one for him and then one for the studio.
Hey, speaking of Nolan, wasn't Memento the bad guy in Iron Man 3? Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
That's his face.
Guy Pearce.
His new name is Memento.
Memento.
So you have to call up actors by their most well-known role. So
yes.
Like, we were talking about the other day, Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Who's in every goddamn movie.
Yeah, he is in, like, everything.
Between him and Emily Blunt, I mean, are there clones of them? They're, like, in every movie.
Apparently he's being rumored for Lex Luthor.
Well, I also heard like Denzel Washington.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Is Denzel Washington secretly just... They always say like he's like a big draw, but is he?
His movies seem to usually be like successful. I think the key for him is his movies usually aren't like super expensive. So It's like, you know, the movie's like 35, 40 million and it makes like 80 million and it's, you know, successful.
Did you watch Flight?
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Yeah, I saw it on Netflix. I was thinking about watching it because it's the first live action Zemeckis movie in what?
Yes.
1,000 years?
Yeah. Yeah, what would be the last... Was it What Lies Beneath
was
the last one?
That was his last...
2000.
No. Okay, so I have the superpower. I know what year every movie came out.
Yeah.
What Lies Beneath came out summer of 2000, and then Castaway came out fall of 2000.
Yeah. Because, yeah, he had both those come out that year.
Because they filmed the first part of Castaway first. Then he filmed What Lies Beneath while Tom Cruise went on, like, a super diet to become Skinny Man. Yeah.
Hanks.
Right. And then they finished Castaway.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. I saw the trailer for Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, with Tom.
Yeah, and I think there needs to be an Academy Award.
Tom.
There needs to be an Academy Award for best achievement in making your leading actor look taller than the leading lady. I'm sorry, in no universe is Emily Blunt shorter than Tom Cruise.
Probably not.
Speaking of Avengers, you ever notice anytime there's a wide shot of Gwyneth Paltrow and Robert Downey Jr., she's always barefoot?
No, I didn't notice that.
Next time you watch the movie, look for that.
Because, yeah, I'm sure she's taller than
She's probably taller than either of us.
Probably, yeah.
And awesome.
Yeah, she is awesome.
She should be in more movies.
I know you've always been a fan of hers, so she is pretty cool.
I mean, she wasn't in Wimbledon, but still.
Did you ever see Sliding Doors?
No, I didn't.
You should check that out. It's good, because it shows like what happens if she gets on this train or if she doesn't make the train and then how it affects her life.
Oh, that goes back to Bioshock Infinite.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
we need to talk about Bioshock Infinite.
Yes.
So Bioshock was a video game, obviously, in which Andrew Ryan, which doesn't sound at all like Ayn Rand, was that sarcastic enough? creates a utopia under the sea, which turns into a dystopia.
Surprise.
And then, you know, Bioshock 2 is made by a different studio, or rather 10 different studios. And then...
But it was still pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, I think I might have liked it better than Infinite. And then coming back years later, Irrational released Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah.
And, so I guess I don't play a whole lot of new games anymore. Like,
yeah.
I'll play Battlefield all the time, or that's my go-to game. And then, like, this year I played Infinite. Last year I got Alan Wake when it came on PC for, like, $30 or whatever. And so, yeah, I didn't get through Grand Theft Auto V. I just don't care about the characters.
I didn't either. I mean, it seemed kind of cool, but yeah, I just gave up on it.
The technology was, I mean, I don't know how the hell they made that game run on the console. It looked amazing. But it's just gangsters and shooting and swearing and hip-hop crap, and I just can't get into it.
Well, the open world thing, too, like, I used to really love that, but anymore, it's like, you know, I don't mind being kind of, like, directed on where to go.
See, the thing is, it's a really empty open world. Like, in Skyrim, you could just keep walking in one direction, and eventually you'll find something, and you'll get, for 5 hours, you'll be on some other tangent.
Yeah.
And from what I saw in San Andreas, Grand Theft Auto V, you know, basically, you could drive anywhere you wanted, but nothing would really happen unless you're going along the story. But I'm sure I'll play it more, but I don't know, maybe I won't. I just don't play that many games anymore. But Infinite.
Yes, yeah.
So, all the trailers from E3 and stuff, none of that stuff happened in the game. People gave Colonial Marines shit for that, and I'm sure it's a terrible game. I didn't play it. Aliens, Colonial Marines. You're like, all the stuff that was shown in the shows wasn't in the game. It's like, well, Bioshock Infinite did the same thing. It was a good game, so no one cared.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was going to be like, I was like, oh, it's a commentary on, you know, extreme conservatives versus, you know, liberals and radicals and whatnot. Like, that's the impression I got
in
the trailers, and the game wasn't really about that. It was. I'm not sure what it was about. It was very watered down.
Yeah. I mean, without spoiling things, I guess it's hard to get into. But yeah, I don't know. It was one of those things where while playing it, it was very enjoyable.
Oh yeah.
And then when you look back on it, it's kind of hollow, I guess.
I played through it again on easy just to kind of Yeah, just play through it again.
Did you go and find all the audio logs? Because
no.
I didn't find all of them. So
I played through it on hard, and I never had any money. I could never afford any upgrades.
Yeah,
and the upgrades didn't physically change the look of your gun. Like,
yeah,
if you got
right.
a quad barrel shotgun in BioShock, the first BioShock, your gun would look different. You know,
yeah.
You'd see the upgrades done on your gun. And it was like, oh wow, this looks cool. Everything
yeah.
looked handmade. Like, oh, they're having to make weapons out of soup cans and stuff. And then BioShock Infinite's like, oh, carbine rifle, shotgun, just all
yeah.
the same boring stuff. And two guns at once versus, like, BioShock 1 and 2 where you had the bolt gun with four different kinds of ammo.
Yes, which was cool.
What was the twist? So BioShock 1's twist was basically Total Recall. Would you concur?
Yeah, I would say that's accurate.
Oh, and then BioShock Infinite, basically the twist was Fringe.
Which I haven't seen.
Fringe.
Call me Fringe.
He is the best agent we have. Agent Fringe.
But yeah, that was the thing, like, in Infinite, like, the very beginning was pretty cool, but then, yeah, like you had talked about offline of this, you know, like, you spent a lot of time in that one area.
Finkton.
Yeah.
The industrial place.
And it kind of bogs down a bit, but, you know, it's, but yeah, to me it was weird, like, the most excited or emotional or whatever I felt in that game was toward the end when,
oh yeah,
you know, don't want to say, but you know, it was kind of like trip down memory lane.
Well, it did.
You
could say that the emotional connection you had wasn't with a character, it was with a place.
Yes, and so it was like, and that was kind of when I was like, oh, you know, like this game's lacking something. You know, it's hard to put the finger on it, I guess, but
yeah, like, so were they even religious? I mean, like, it seems like they worshipped Comstock?
Yeah, the main guy, but
and they were sky racists. I guess that was their thing?
That was a thing in there, yeah. Because, yeah, it was, like, all the alternate kind of history and stuff where you go in that area and it's like, what is it, the Battle of the...
Which doesn't make any sense because it says Comstock was born in 1874.
Yeah.
Columbia is founded in 1893, which means a 19-year-old took over the city
yeah.
and became its founding father. Which is why I think Booker actually, in one reality, goes... Oh, I guess we're spoiling the end of the game.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, who cares? Okay, if you haven't played BioShock Infinite, don't listen to this next part.
Yeah, just put it in the podcast. Like, when we start talking about BioShock Infinite... Don't
yeah.
listen. Yeah.
So the basic premise of BioShock Infinite deals with like the infinite number of universe theories, which is a part of quantum physics.
Yeah, string theory, right?
Yes, which basically states that every possible action creates a different alternate universe. So like if there's an alternate universe, like if I tip over this pizza box, I've created a new universe in which I didn't tip over the pizza box.
Yeah.
And that's what the infinite, BioShock Infinite, refers to. And so Booker DeWitt, or whatever his name is, Rose DeWitt Picator, flies up to racist, sky racist city to find the girl, but it turns out that in another alternate reality, he founded the city.
Yes.
So he's really fighting himself, the bad guy, Comstock. But then a lot of things don't make sense, like why is Comstock so old? I think Booker goes to Columbia, blows the shit out of it, then goes back in time and becomes Comstock.
Yeah.
That would explain why he's old and why he knows the future.
Makes more sense, yeah. But, yeah, it was very... Like, the plot was very convoluted like that. Where, like,
it was unnecessarily complicated.
Where, yeah, like, the first BioShock, you know, it's fairly straightforward. It's just like, yeah, there's this dude, and he didn't like the way the world functioned, and he didn't feel like he could function the way he wanted to and that, so he went and created his own city in the place where the rest of the world couldn't reach, essentially. And but then, of course, you know, all good things turn to shit, as Ben likes to say, and, you know, that's basically what happened there, and then you have the twist in that game as well. But yeah, I mean, but to me, yeah, like, if we're just spoiling things now, like, I loved it at the end of Infinite.
Just go for it.
Where, yeah, like, when you show up in that area where it's, like, all the different lighthouses.
Oh, yeah, at the very end.
Like, I just sat in that area for a while and just, like, took it in. It was, like, a really cool moment. And then, like, when you come out of that elevator or whatever, and then it's like, holy fuck, I'm in Rapture again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just... And it was, like, so awesome. It's like, oh, tell me this isn't really the end of the game, because I really want to go back to Rapture. You know, that was all I could think
about.
Well, they went to
Rapture to kill Songbird, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he tries to get him, so then she teleports them all to Rapture, so he drowns.
Yep. Which was really cool.
Did he?
Yeah. But
I wish they would have explained, because there's a part where I think one of the Lucite twins gives you a sheet of paper that shows like how they built Songbird. You very briefly see it's like, I want to know what the fuck is Songbird? Is there a guy in there?
Yeah.
Like in Bioshock, they're like, here's a Big Daddy. Here is where they come from.
Yeah.
And even become one at one point.
Yeah, it's very clear about that. Yeah.
Yeah, it just seems like all the stuff in Infinite was... You could tell it was definitely overdeveloped. You know, it had been cooked for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Skyhook system, I mean, you're basically just going in circles around one small map.
Yeah, you're just kind of like using it to...
Escape the handyman who are too hard.
Yes, yeah.
They're not fun to fight. Like, the Big Daddies would, like, charge you and miss, and it was fun to fight them. Handyman just jump right at you from 50 feet away and punch you to death.
Ugh.
The Skyhook is basically there so you can get away from a handyman and fight him.
Yeah, and then go buy ammo. Like, that's what I would do in certain areas. It's like I'd whip around on the Skyhook, shoot the shit out of some people, then I'd come back, and it's like, oh, there's a vending machine up here, and I could run back up there and buy some more ammo, and then jump back on the hook and run around again.
The thing that doesn't make sense to me, so if Columbia is meant to be like a like an ultra-nationalistic, conservative, religious area, they wouldn't be slicing people up into robots. They wouldn't be taking drugs that change you. I don't know if they'd be racist or not, but I think they just made them racist, so they're like, oh, they're bad.
Yeah.
You know, basically, because I think it's, the racism that was portrayed in that movie probably wasn't that much different than what existed in 1912, so I don't think Columbia was necessarily, would have been that much better or worse.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, it was just a shorthand, I think, for,
yeah, for bad guys.
Yeah. Although, it seemed like a great place when you get there.
Yeah, the very beginning, like, the way they set it up, yeah, it's pretty neat.
Although, you know, if, the thing is, it'd be really cold in there, because if it's 10,000 feet above sea level, that's, well, it's a lot colder than it is here. Like, when you're flying in a plane, the temperature outside is, like, negative 40.
It's really cold. Yeah, so...
Now, why would they fly around Maine? I mean, if you're going to be in a cold area of the atmosphere, you probably want to be around the, you know...
Yeah, down at the Central Equator Pole, or somewhere.
Central Pole, I said.
Central Pole,
Central Pole, it's like a strip club. Now in the Central Pole, Monique. Okay, so I guess, yeah, I would say ultimately I was kind of wished for a little bit more. I mean, it was excellently, the way it was made was incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the story seemed a little, I think it could have been simpler, actually.
Yeah. I think you made, the way you put it was pretty good, where you just said it had been cooked for a long time. You know, it was just a little overdone.
Yeah, I think it should have actually been a little bit more... I don't want to say offensive, but yeah, offensive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they would have just made it literally, like, basically, you know, like, conservatives versus liberals, which is what I implied from watching the trailers. Like, oh, ooh, you've got, like, the founders. I mean, the founders makes you think of, like, the Tea Party or, like, Republicans. And then you've got, like, these radicals, you know, basically communists. And, like, they're fighting each other. It's like, oh, isn't this what the game is about? But it really wasn't.
Yeah, because you kind of thought, like, oh, maybe I'll get to choose which side I want to side with, and maybe that'll affect, you know, the path I take through the game. But then, you know, that never materializes.
Yeah, and then, you know, when you get to the game, they're, like, quoting scripture and singing songs. But then it's not about God or Jesus. It's about Comstock. Like, it's a cult, basically, where they worship him. And that was a little weird, too. I mean, if you're going to make a commentary about religion, just go for it. You'll comment on Catholicism or Christianity or Lutherans. Or communism, or, you know, ultra-nationalism.
Yeah.
I'm sure at some point they're like, well, if we go too far in any of these directions, we're going to miss out on X amount of sales.
Yeah.
So. I mean, because you think about it, like, the stuff portrayed in the first Bioshock, I don't think it would be super offensive, unless you're, like, an ultra Ayn Rand fan.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's, like, basically, it's, like, you know, showing the, you know, what is it, he rips on communism and...
And religion.
And religion, and, you know... Capitalism. Or
it's
whatever,
basically,
you know,
Ayn Rand built a city under the sea. It's, but see, there, I just summed up that whole game in one sentence. It's easy to sum up. Okay, so that was a game that was a big release that we both played this year. Oh, also the bosses were disappointed. They're like, oh, there's mechanized patriots and boys of silence and sirens. And like, except for the mechanized patriots, they're barely in the game.
Yeah, there was like, what was that? That crow guy or what was
it? Oh, you fight him a couple times. They were almost like enemy types, not bosses.
Yeah.
They did everything like, you know, Sandra Cohen or whatever that guy's name was, the musician from Bioshock.
Yeah.
That was utterly macabre, but it was awesome because you remember it.
That was awesome.
I don't remember some guy with, you know, horns coming out of his ears and you shoot a ghost?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, what?
That boss was hard, too.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, you know, as a ghost, like, you know, if it's dealing with string theory and, you know, dimensions, like, maybe it's her from another dimension. Maybe that's what a ghost is, but still, shooting it? That was a hard boss fight, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I went back like kind of in this room where the grave was or whatever, or not the grave, the tomb, I guess. And I
no, you fight her twice. You fight her in the graveyard and then in the bank.
Okay. Yeah, God.
Also, if Comstock was ultra conservative, he wouldn't be taking 50% of people's income. Remember, they find that ledger in the bank.
Yes.
And she's like, Comstock, it's 50% of everyone's income, and she makes some sort of comment on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, things like that just seem a little inconsistent. All right, we have a few more things to get through here. All right. How do we go from Batman to BioShock Infinite? I hope they make one in space. God, I hope they go to space next.
That would be cool. See, like we were talking about, the dark side of the moon. Like, I think that's what they should do, explore that.
Oh, yeah, like it's a moon city. It's like in the future.
Yeah.
Okay, what could the theme be about?
Because it's like, you know, everything's about, like, the city somewhere. So it's like they've done the ocean, they've done the sky. You know, where the hell else can they go? It's like they basically have to go to space, and then it's like, a city on the other side of the moon.
Oh, can you imagine? Just picture it. A rocket goes off from Earth, and it's like, then somehow you get to the moon, like, within, like, 30 seconds of cutscene.
Yeah.
It's like, I envisioned a city. Blah, 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 blah. Then you see the moon coming. Well, I guess it's already pretty big in view. And then you see the craters, and then you're going along the moon, and it's like, I envisioned Moontopia. And then as it says that, you come across the crest, and you see Moontopia.
Yeah.
Like, carved into an enormous crater. Like, the entire backside of the moon is a crater with a city in it. I mean,
yeah, it'd be awesome.
That would be even better than the reveal of Rapture.
Oh, yeah.
Because Rapture is like a fucking squid goes past the camera, and then you see Rapture.
Yeah.
But this is like Moontopia. I've already called it. There you go, Ken Levine. It's Moontopia.
And then they could tie into like the alien shit with that if they wanted. You know, like it could maybe explain alien type things. You know, there's all sorts of directions they could go with it. Because, you know, there's some people that believe that there is like aliens living on the dark side of the moon. And
oh, yeah. Wasn't that one of our possible topics was moon conspiracies?
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
So it's like, I don't know. It just seems like it'd be a natural way to take it. So
and then
I play that game. So
when you're in the rocket ship and it's like, man first colonized the moon in 1969. Then after the Moon Colonization Act and blah, blah, blah. Show the history of it.
Yeah.
Like, I envisioned a city where basically Andrew Ryan comes back.
Yeah.
For Moontopia.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. Like, Comstock wasn't nearly as cool as Andrew Ryan, so.
No, because Andrew Ryan, like, had kind of, he was kind of like the Emperor in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Even if he's not right, he at least is passionate about something.
Yeah, he stands for something, and,
yeah. It's like, you're going down the bathysphere or whatever, and you learn more about Andrew Ryan than you do in the entirety of Infinite. He's like, okay, here, I don't like this, or this. Welcome to Rapture.
Yeah.
That's like probably the best intro to a game ever. Until Moontopia.
Well, yeah, you know. That's the only thing that could top it.
Oh, they get like Space Big Daddy. So instead of going out in the water, you'd be in space.
Yeah, they'd be like Moon Men. Well, it'd be like, you remember the MTV Moon Man, you know, from way back in the 80s? But yeah, I mean, it's basically just like an old school, like, astronaut with like the big bubble helmet and stuff. I mean, I guess they still have the same thing nowadays, but it was just like more old school looking. But yeah, it's like, yeah, the beginning of BioShock, I can't think of another game that rivals that, because it's like you have the plane crash, you end up in the water. I still remember the first
time.
What
the hell is this lighthouse?
Yeah, I still remember the first time I played that. Like, after I crashed in the water, I sat there for probably like 30 seconds because I thought it was like a cutscene still,
because
it looked that good. And then I was like, oh, like, I happened to bump the controller, and I moved, and I'm like, oh, shit, I guess I can do something now. And then, yeah, you're like, well, there's a lighthouse, I guess that's where I gotta go. And then you get into the bathysphere thing and hear the whole spiel, and then Rapture's revealed, and it has that awesome, like, swell and the music and everything, and it's just awesome.
Oh, that game had a great soundtrack, too.
Yeah, it's,
I got the line for BioShock,
Moontopia.
BioShock Moontopia, it's like, it's like, they said there wasn't any place on Earth I could build my city, and they were right.
Yes.
I chose Moontopia. Come on, you all know, everyone listening to this knows that would be amazing to go to Moontopia.
It would be sweet.
Okay, so, BioShock Infinite. Looking forward to Moontopia, I guess.
Yes.
Where else could they go? I mean,
yeah,
the snow, that would be lame.
That would be boring. That'd be like going to the George Lucas school, where it's just like, oh, here, you know, this whole planet is snow. This whole planet is desert.
Well, you know, System Shock is, you know, kind of where Bioshock came from, so it makes sense they would go back into space.
Yeah, because that was kind of like Alien-esque, right? Like, aren't you on, like, a ship or something?
It's like the first first faster-than-light ship. And there's an artificial intelligence that goes haywire and basically kills everyone.
So it's like HAL.
Yeah, so instead of wandering around a city, you're wandering around a very large spaceship.
Okay.
Okay, so we got just a couple more topics. Hopefully we can wrap this up before too long. Franchises that we can't believe actors or directors haven't crawled back to.
Austin Powers. Myers. Although he's, like, living high on the hog off all his fat Shrek money, I'm sure. So.
Yeah, he makes, like, what, $60 million a movie for that or something?
Yeah, I mean, he never has to do anything ever again. So, yeah.
You could say the same thing for Arnold Schwarzenegger, but he still keeps cranking out movies that nobody goes to.
That's true. Maybe he's just really bored.
Well, maybe Maria took all his money.
That could be.
She took all my money.
He's got to pay for that love child.
So. Helen is having an affair. Wachowski siblings, Matrix.
Oh, yeah.
Keanu Reeves, Matrix. I mean, 47 Ronin is going to bomb off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
All the way to Moontopia, so...
Yeah, I've seen the trailers for that, and I was just like, who the hell is going to go see this?
Well, that movie was filmed like 4 years ago.
It's really?
Like, yeah, it was originally supposed to come out like in 2010, and it got pushed back, reshot, re-edited, the director was kicked off, and I'm sure it's terrible.
I can't remember the name of it. I saw this trailer. It's some funky new fantasy movie that comes out in January. It's got, like, Jeff Bridges and Julianne Moore in it. It just looked completely bizarre. And just the casting, I was like, I kind of got to see this. I'm sure it's terrible. But it was kind of like Jeff Bridges is almost like a Gandalf type or something, and then Julianne Moore's like the evil queen or something.
I've not even heard of this.
Yeah, it was just freaking bizarre. I can't remember what the hell it was called. But
Stardust 2?
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, I was like, wow, that's like shitty movie in the theater material right there.
Like, in the name of the king.
Yes. My name is Fama.
Oh. We will die here. That was a great bad movie.
I remember the best part of that was when those Uruk-hai wannabes were like putting themselves in the catapults
and lighting themselves on fire.
Yeah, and then launching themselves.
Well, they were very dedicated to whoever they were fighting for. I can't
That's
remember.
True. Yeah, they were all in. So
was it Michelle Rodriguez in that movie?
Yeah, and the
Christina Loken
Terminator 3 woman. Yeah,
Terminator chick.
Yeah, and Burt Reynolds for some reason
wearing a t-shirt.
That was probably the last sighting of Claire Forlani.
And Ron Perlman, Jason Statham, John Rhys-Davies, Lily Sobieski.
Yeah, Pacific Rim.
God,
Seeing Perlman show up again, I was just like, why does he keep getting put in movies? I mean, I know Del Toro will put him in, like, anything, but I'm like, he's not very good.
So why was Pacific Rim the greatest movie ever made, according to fanboys?
I don't know. It sure wasn't according to the domestic box office, but I guess people just want to see giant robots fight giant monsters every now and then with, like, a lot of boring dialogue scenes.
The thing I didn't like about it is, like, half the, more than, like, 90% of the fights took place in water.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, having the robots and monsters slosh around in water, I mean, how many millions of dollars does that add to your effects budget?
Yeah.
Just have them fight on land. They can move faster, it looks perfectly fine, and you can save money. Like, yeah. The part where Gypsy Danger, like, picked up the boat, you know, the scooters,
yes,
like, was
yeah.
whacked, that was cool.
That was cool, in the
city.
Because
I could see what was going on. One thing I really liked in that movie, story-wise, it was a little quick beat. I think it was right after he hits the monster with the schooner. And the monster shoots the acid at Gypsy Danger, and the robot turns and looks at what it did to the building, because it misses.
Yeah.
So it's like, the audience had already seen that acid kill another robot,
yeah.
But Gypsy Danger hadn't. So that, you know, the people driving that robot looked and saw the effect of the acid and knew it was dangerous, and then realized they had to pull it out of the monster.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I don't know how they pulled out the acid sack without burning his hand off. But, you know, like most movies,
yeah.
They would have said, oh, the audience knows it's dangerous, this robot already knows it's dangerous. I like the
yeah.
fact that they spent 2 seconds to have the robot acknowledge the danger
and
realize it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But then they pull out that sword, like, at the very end of the battle.
Yeah, it's like, where was that, like,
the whole time?
20 minutes ago?
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, they were like, oh yeah, Optimus Prime had a sword. I guess this one can too.
And like the whole middle of the movie, basically nothing happens because they need to save money for the effects. So when you see a movie like Pacific Rim and there's scene after scene after scene of characters talking about their childhood, it's because they need to save money. Every second those robots aren't on screen, the budget goes down. Of course, then one would argue, why not just not have those scenes and make a shorter movie?
Except then the movie would be like 45 minutes long, and then it wouldn't be feature length, so... So they have to have some garbage in there. I mean, that's why there's humans in the Transformers movies.
Well, Pacific Rim is only 2 hours. I mean, Transformers movies are criminally long.
Yeah.
Although, I had to say, the third movie, once they got past... The first hour of it was just goddamn stupid as shit.
Yeah.
Once they got past that, though, it actually was pretty good.
That big-ass battle, like, in Chicago at the end or whatever, like, that's pretty badass.
I love the scene in the building, when the building's falling down.
Yeah, and they're inside
They're sliding it, and inside of it. I mean, that was really well done.
Yeah.
But then that guy from Hangover pulling out guns at work and shooting robots. What the fuck was that? Oh, God.
That was him saying, hey, I want to shoot something, too. And they're like, well, okay, fine.
Then Shia LaBeouf, like, oh, I found another supermodel girlfriend.
Yeah. Somehow.
Yeah, what's with that? Patrick Dempsey was in it for some reason.
Yeah. I am curious about the new one, because it's got Wahlberg in it.
It's going to be bad. Don't be curious about it.
I don't know. Wahlberg is just... He's really entertaining for some reason. Although the problem with that movie is it won't be R-rated, so he can't be, like, this foul-mouthed, like, pissed-off dude like he is in, like, The Other Guys and so many other movies that he's done, so... He's just really good at playing, like, somebody who's just completely fed up and pissed off all the time. Like,
and Ted.
Oh, like, The Departed, he was awesome in that, too, because he's just completely pissed off, like, every time you see him in that movie.
Well, maybe he will be that character in a PG-13 setting,
yeah,
somehow.
He just can't drop F-bombs, I guess, but...
Is there any other franchises... Oh, I'm sorry, any other franchises that I'm surprised actors or directors haven't crawled back to yet? I would say Austin Powers is probably the big one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's probably something out there, but I just can't really think of it.
Oh, the Terminator? They're rebooting Terminator, but for some reason, Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be in it. I know, right? It was a real stretch for him to be in Part 3.
Yeah, but they pulled it off somehow. But...
Part 3, the movie that is far better than anyone gives it credit for.
Yes.
It is.
That movie kicked ass.
It's a good movie. It's short and sweet and gets the job done.
I do remember that, though, when, like, the trailers were out for that.
The trailers looked terrible.
Awful.
Yeah.
You know, because he's like, I am a machine. And it was, like, groan-inducing.
I still gave it a chance, though, and it was great.
Yeah, didn't me, you, and Dale see that in the theater? I can't remember how that went down.
Yeah, I think it was you, me, Dale, and Mike.
Yeah, and we saw it and we were like, holy shit, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was just a ton of fun.
Yeah.
So I guess you just need to give movies a chance. Oh, my prediction is that X-Men Days of Future Past will suck.
I hope not.
Well, I don't want it to suck either, too, but it will.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be the same thing. Bryan Singer's going to do the same thing that Peter Jackson did. He made a successful trilogy, then he went away and did nothing of much merit for several years, and came back to it with that much less energy and enthusiasm.
Yeah, because I saw the trailer that came out for it that, like, all the fanboys were, like, wanking off over, apparently, and I didn't see it. I was like, what in here is there to be excited
It's just
going to
be a Wolverine movie again. It's like, oh, look, Wolverine's here, so I guess he's going to be the main character again.
Yeah. Yeah, because First Class was so good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're going to make X-Men Apocalypse, whatever that means. Did that many people read comic books?
Apocalypse is a bad guy. Like, he's a big, like, badass bad guy, I guess.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know the machinations of it. But yeah, that is a good question. It's like, you know, out of all the ticket sales, it's like, how many of those really are for people who read comic books? Like, so, you know.
I've got some math for you. It's a World of Warcraft movie, which apparently they want to make for some reason. They're going to make it. It starts shooting next month. And it's like, let me take, let's say, 9 million subscribers. It is starting to go down.
It's like at 7 now, I think.
7?
Actually. Yeah.
Okay, let's be generous and say 9.
Yeah.
9 million subscribers times $10 a ticket.
Yep. Do the math.
$90 million divided by two, which is what you actually take home from box office.
Yeah.
$45 million US. After, this is assuming any of them stop playing the game long enough to go see the movie.
And let me guess, its budget's like $200 million.
I don't know how much. I'm sure they're. I'm sure they're spending. Well, that's why Halo didn't happen. I mean,
yeah.
It's just they did the math. And it's like, you know, we can't. You know, selling like 10 million games for $60 and making $600 million is a lot different than trying to sell 20 million tickets at $10. You need to have more people want to see it for less money to make up the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, Grand Theft Auto, I mean, I don't think that would... It, would that be a successful movie?
Yeah, I don't know. It's...
They're not going to make it. Rockstar's like, we don't need to make this. And they're
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're doing okay without it.
It's like, but Sumo... Did, yeah, it's who one... wants a World of Warcraft movie?
I don't know.
Duncan Jones, apparently.
I mean, are they going to try to piggyback off of, like, you know, the fantasy stuff with, like, Hobbit? You know, the Hobbit movies will come to an end, and then, oh, here comes, like, the next fantasy thing, which is World of Warcraft. Like,
and it won't end either, you know. It'll end in a cliffhanger, so they can be a freaking yeah. sequel. Whatever happened to movies just ending and telling one story? Like, ugh. You know, you could make a movie, like, a stand. Like, movies used to have to be standalone, like Star Wars. It's like,
yeah.
It's a miracle it even got made. And the movie just had to end because they just had to assume they'd never make another one.
Yeah.
It's like nowadays, you know, they're writing the third movie before the first one's even out in theaters.
I mean, that's the great thing with Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, like, they didn't expect to make more of those.
Oh, no, that movie almost got killed in pre-production. Like, it almost didn't get made.
And that's why the first one is, you know, really good. You know, it's just fun and
it's too long.
It is, but I mean, it has a end to it. You know, where, you know, the second one, obviously, I mean, they filmed the second and third ones, like, together or whatever, but, you know, it's just obvious that it's like, oh, yeah, here we are, we're just ending because we have to have another movie so we can make more money. And,
they're bumping the Avatar sequels up to a quadrilogy. It was going to be three more movies, now it's four.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I'd heard the three movie thing, but...
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Even though you know exactly, I can tell you exactly what will happen in the Avatar sequels. The humans will come back for their unobtainium, and then at the end of the first sequel, they'll beat the shit out of the Na'vi.
Yeah.
And then it'll be like the Return of the Empire Strikes Back ending.
Yeah.
And then the second movie, the Na'vi will fight back. And the third movie, I don't even...
That's the thing, like, once you get past the second one, yeah, it's like, what the fuck would happen?
I mean, I could see, like, you know, when they did, like, Back to the Future, you know, they filmed the Back to the Future sequels back to back, and because that was really weird when you saw, I mean, I saw that in the theater, and like, it's like a cliffhanger. It's like, what?
Yeah.
I gotta wait until the next year to see the end of the story. But it was interesting back then. Now it's like every movie does that. It's like, fucking end a story.
Yeah.
You can still end a story and still have a sequel. I mean, just end it.
Yeah, because it said to be concluded after the second one, right? For Back to the Future.
Yeah, then it had a trailer for the third movie after it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then it's like, oh, they already filmed this?
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, back then, I mean, it was pretty rare to film two sequels at once. I think
that might have been the first time.
Superman was the first time.
They filmed one and two. Yeah.
Although, well, they didn't film all of it. They stopped filming it because they needed to finish stuff for part one because it was over budget.
And then they whacked Donner.
You know, I watched the Donner cut, and I actually prefer the original Superman 2 cut.
Okay.
There's some stuff he did that was interesting, but because, you know, you can, like, rent it. Like, they made a Richard Donner cut, and I didn't think it was as good.
Hmm.
Oh, he turns back time again at the end of it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Lame.
Yeah. It's not as good as crushing Zod's hand.
Well, that's kind of like Payback. Like, there's a director's cut of Payback, which I've never watched, but Dale told me about it. And he's like, stay the fuck away from it. Because apparently when they were making Payback, like, Mel basically ripped the movie away from Helgeland, who was the director, and finished it himself, like, edited it and everything himself. And
that was the Mel version that we saw?
That's the one that was in the theaters and all that, and then Helgeland, you know, eventually got to do his director's cut, and I guess there's just all sorts of stuff that's just, like, gutted out of it, and, you know, basically everything that made it cool is gone. And, so, yeah, the director's cut isn't necessarily always the best one.
Well, like, director's cuts of James Cameron movies are always longer and less concise. Yeah.
And like, there's a director's cut of Hobbit. I mean, how's that possible?
Oh my god.
Did they include Peter Jackson's vacation videos in it? I mean, how could you make it any longer?
Because, yeah, it's like 3 hours long now.
Well, it's, it was pretty close to 3 hours long in theaters, wasn't it?
I think it's like 240
It felt
something.
Like 9 hours long. Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, there really, there was going to be two more of these.
So it sounds like the second one is underperforming, or...
Yeah, I read something today where they said from the midnight showings it was down like 32%.
Could we have really been the only people who found that movie to be a really long slog with nothing going on in it?
It seemed like it for a while, but I think now people looking back are kind of realizing that it really wasn't that good. So I've heard more people lately saying that, like, yeah, I didn't like that movie compared to when it came out. It felt like we were the only two people that had a, you know, poor opinion of it.
I don't know. I just form opinions on movies incredibly quickly, and I usually stick with them. Like with Batman, I really, like, there's not a whole lot of movies I go back and I watch. Maybe Rocketeer. Rocketeer is not really that great. I know a lot of people like it, but it has a lot of issues.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, nothing happens in it.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't do anything as Rocketeer. He flies up in the sky, he runs into a cornfield, then he flies out of a restaurant, then he flies to a blimp. That's all he does as Rocketeer.
And Timothy Dalton shows up at some point.
Timothy Dalton was pretty cool.
It was a good time, yeah.
It wasn't lies, Jenny. It was acting. Jennifer Connelly responds to that by saying, "I'm really fucking hot in this movie."
And people will be talking about it 20 years from now. Yeah, those were times. But yeah, I don't know. Like,
I think it was her birthday yesterday.
Yeah, it was. I saw it on IMDb. I think she's like 43.
Today is my birthday. Today I turn number one.
Happy birthday, asshole.
A movie you've never seen.
Yep.
Hey, that's another movie where they would achieve best achievement in making the leading man look taller than the leading woman.
Oh yeah, Stallone is not tall.
Or any movie with Sigourney Weaver.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, Hobbit, yeah, the new one, I don't care. I mean, it's got Evangeline Lilly as a hot elf, and then Cumberbatch is the voice of the dragon, which is cool, although, like, watching the trailer, for some reason they felt the need to, like, put some sort of funky effects on his voice.
Well, he's a dragon!
But Cumberbatch's voice is so, like, awesomely, like, sinister and oily. You don't even need to do anything.
So, wait, the dragon can talk in Hobbit? Because I never read the book.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't the Hobbit book, like, 300 pages?
It's pretty short. I mean, it's, like, it's shorter than, you know, like, the Lord of the Rings books.
So you have 1,200 pages of Lord of the Rings book becomes 3 3-hour movies, and a 300-page book becomes 3 3-hour movies.
Yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it?
That means Hobbit is 75% filler?
Yes.
It's like Wonder Bread.
Well, it's like, what was it, Chronicles of Narnia is like that too. Like, they made, you know, like the 2-some-hour movie of that, and the book of that is really short. It's like 100 pages.
Wasn't it the one where Liam Neeson was Jesus Lion?
Yes. And he mentored people, of course, because that's all he ever does. You need a mentor, you call up Liam Neeson.
I miss the old days where Liam Neeson was like breaking those fingers to get the fucking teddy bears and stuff. Right? And have you ever seen Next of Kin?
No.
Liam Neeson plays a redneck in that.
That's almost got Swayze in it, right?
Oh, that's... Oh, so let me tell you about Next of Kin. So the premise is, Bill Paxton, the greatest actor ever, he's like part of the redneck family, and he's doing something with... who's the Baldwin brother who's not a Baldwin brother?
Is it Adam?
The guy from Serenity?
I think that's Adam.
Yes. Adam Baldwin and Bill Paxton are driving someplace. And basically, Adam Baldwin kills Bill Paxton.
That's very nice.
So basically, it's mobsters versus rednecks, and the whole that's the premise.
See, that's what they should have called it.
So the whole redneck clan is pissed, and the one redneck brother cousin Patrick Swayze is now like a big time cop in the city. So he's got to deal with the mob. And let's see what happens next. So, yeah, Liam Neeson is like, so basically then all the rednecks come into the city and fight all the mobsters. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, this sounds like a great movie, actually.
A lot of people are in it. Liam Neeson's in it. Has a really young Ben Stiller. Hmm. I want to say Helen Hunt's in it as well, and also she's really young.
Jeez.
God. And, of course, Bill Paxton.
Because that was, what, like early 90s?
It was
probably, 89. Late 80s, yeah, okay.
The same year as
Batman.
And Total Roadhouse.
Early Total Recall is 90, right?
Yeah. Oh, they're remaking... MGM's remaking Roadhouse?
Why?
How do you remake Roadhouse? There's no way you could take that movie out of the 80s.
Yeah, it's not
no
the
way.
80s. So, it's just, yeah, like... Yeah. Ugh. Dumb. I don't even really like that movie, but it's just, like, dumb.
Oh, that movie is great.
It's like, why would you even think to remake it? It's just one of those where, yeah, it could only be made in the time it was made. Like Weird Science.
I'm sure they'll try to remake Weird Science.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I have one for you.
I'm surprised they didn't already and have, like, Jonah Hill and Michael Cera in it back when they were both, like, hot.
Kids.
You know, like, when
yeah.
they made, like, Superbad and stuff.
Okay, this might sound sacrilegious, but I could see a Back to the Future remake working.
Yeah, I mean, that's one that's surprising they haven't remade.
The way, like, if I was making a Back to the Future remake, it would be like a kid in 2015 goes back to 1985.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you think about it, okay, so the thing is, Back to the Future, Marty didn't have any character development. He didn't have any character development.
Yeah, nothing.
And the sequel's like he learns not to get mad when people call him Yeller.
Yeah.
Which is not character development. Have an awkward teen who's shy and stuff, have them go back in time and have to fix their parents. But you think about it, like, a teen in 2015 would not know how to operate in 1985.
Yeah.
The difference in technology and the way people communicate between now and 85 was much different than 85 to 55.
Oh, yeah.
What was really the difference between 55 and 85?
Not much.
The chasm wasn't nearly as wide as it would be now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're talking no internet.
No internet, yeah,
no cell phones.
yeah.
You know, those are both pretty big just in their own right, but...
I mean, I think it could
computers, too. You basically wouldn't really have computers around.
Like, a computer geek would be, you know, like, frowned upon in the 80s.
Yeah.
But now computer geeks are, like, rich.
Yeah.
I mean, all that stuff, you know. I actually, you know, maybe make the main character a girl and have her go back in time.
Yeah.
And then still have to fix your parents. And then, you know, you could kind of take the make movement. That's where, like, the time machine can come from. And then, yeah, instead of a sports almanac, maybe they try to buy Apple stock.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I think it could work.
It could work.
I don't think it'll happen.
I'm surprised they haven't remade that.
It seems so obvious.
Because it's like, yeah, out of everything you can remake, you know, that one actually makes sense, which is probably why they haven't.
The one that makes the most sense is Logan's Run.
Yeah.
I know Bryan Singer's trying to make that forever. I mean, if you look at now, like, overpopulation, unemployment, healthcare, Medicare, old people, Logan's Run actually... kind of shows, like, okay, what if we solved all those problems by killing people?
Yeah.
That's basically the premise of the movie. If you haven't seen Logan's Run, it's a 70s movie. It's like in the future, and I don't know what's happened to the Earth, but basically, when you turn 30, you die. They kill you, basically to prevent overpopulation and all this other stuff. And then these two characters, Farrah Fawcett and whoever the guy was, escape. That's Logan's Run. They're escaping.
Okay.
So it's actually a lot like THX 1142 or whatever that movie is.
So how do they kill people? Do they just come to your house and cap you? Or
no, it's kind of like in Michael Bay's The Island.
Yeah.
Where they call it carousel. It's like you turn 30 and then basically you watch a bunch of happy scenes on a monitor and they shoot a cattle bolt through your head.
Okay.
So they make it seem like it's transcendent, but basically you just get killed.
So is it like Heston's character? Like he's...
It's not Heston. You're thinking it's one of the green.
Oh, yes. But... Yeah, it's like, I was thinking Omega Man. I guess that's what I was thinking of for some reason.
Another movie's been remade 3 times.
Yes, but yeah, like the main dude in that, so does he, like, somehow find out what really, what the
No, everyone
really
knows
is?
What happens.
Well, they do, but they still go through with it.
No, they just don't want to get killed, they want to live. It's like he's going to turn 30 and he wants to escape.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, so everybody else just goes along with it?
Yeah, it's like...
Oh, okay.
I, it's been, like, 20 years since I've seen this movie, but...
I suppose if you think about
it'd
like...
It'd be 40 now, you know, so they could cast, like, Leonardo DiCaprio or someone.
Yeah. But. I suppose... Or, like, Matt Damon, yeah, but... I suppose, like, if you think about it, though, like, if that was the way society was, like, if that was just how things worked, you know, like, maybe people would conform to it. They're just like, oh, yeah, that's how it is. You know, when I'm 30, I die.
Yeah, well,
you know,
think about the... Was it THX 1141? What's the name of that movie?
1138.
1138, yes. That's kind of the premise of that movie, sort of. Logan's Run is very similar to that, where there's, like, the sanitized society, and in that one, everyone's, like, taking pills, and they have jobs. It's very much like Metropolis in some ways.
Okay.
Another movie I'm surprised they haven't remade. But I guess my point is, maybe Logan's Run would actually have too much social commentary, and that's why they won't make it.
Yeah, it's like way too topical, actually.
Yeah, but if you think about it, it would actually make sense, because it's like, there's so many problems that are just basically caused by the number of people, and it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
I mean, we're lucky in America because we have so much food,
yes.
But other countries aren't so lucky. But, so anyway, there's a movie they could remake, but they will eventually.
Yeah.
Although now they're remaking stuff from the 90s, so they'll come back again to the 70s, they got to loop back.
It's the thing you wonder, like, let's say Singer's next, you know, couple X-Men movies are, like, super popular, you know, maybe he'll actually get enough clout to be able to finally make Logan's Run.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because he's always, I mean, that's been, like, a pet project of his for a long time.
He also wanted to remake Battlestar Galactica.
Really?
As a movie.
Really?
Which, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is after the show ended, by the way.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Huh. A good show.
Yeah.
Battlestar Galactica, the good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, we'll see, I guess, but odds are we'll just keep getting garbage we don't really care about watching.
I would be okay with an Indiana Jones remake.
Yes.
It needs to be remade. It makes more sense to, like, recast it than to have, like, a 75-year-old person with a whip. I don't know who would be a young Indiana Jones.
Like DiCaprio could make a good Indiana Jones. I mean, he's like right upper 30s.
Actually, no, he's the same age as me, and
that's about what Ford would have been
in the first movie.
So
yeah, that could make sense.
And he's got the right, you know, charm and charisma and all that to pull it off. So
I don't think it would be him, though. I don't think they could afford it.
Yeah, he costs too much, probably.
Unless Martin Scorsese directed it, in which case he'd be like, oh, fuck.
He'd be like, oh, yeah.
Let's make 10 movies in a row together, except for Hugo.
Yeah, because what, DiCaprio, he only worked with Spielberg the one time on Catch Me If You Can.
Catch Me If You Can.
So.
But he did Gangs in New York, Shutter Island, The Departed.
Aviator.
And then Wolf of Wall Street. He's made a ton of movies with Martin Scorsese. Okay. Well, any closing thoughts? Wow, we are going into like Dale and
epic one.
Festival of Podcast time. Well, it's been 2 years, so.
Yeah, so this makes up for last Christmas, but.
Your favorite Wham song.
Well, yeah, when I saw your topic list, I was like, oh, this is going to be tough to squeeze into an hour, so. That's all right, though.
Well, I hope people aren't too disappointed that we didn't talk more about video games, but.
Well, we'll get back in the New York groove if we do it, like, monthly or something, then, you know, we'll get the old groove back.
Well, after you win your fantasy football, you can buy a PlayStation 4.
Yes, and report back.
With your findings.
With my findings.
I could reassemble that Xbox One in the other room and come up with more findings. Although, of course,
what's that one there?
That one's a dev unit. I can't use that one, unfortunately. I haven't figured out how to turn it into a retail unit yet.
Ah. Well.
Yeah, this is Xbox One's laying all over the place here.
Black bricks.
What about the Steam Box?
I don't know much about it, really. I mean, it's basically, what, just a PC?
Like, yeah, but it runs Linux, so you have to stream most games from your other PC, which...
That seems kind of pointless. Then.
Yeah, Gabe Newell just has this death wish for Windows, although Windows 8 does kind of bug me. Well, I guess we'll see if we can cover that in another topic. So, yeah, let us know what you think of our podcast and the fact that it's back. I guess you can comment below.
And that it took 8 hours to listen to. We almost got it to Hobbit length, but not quite.
So. Yes, let's complain about how long The Hobbit is and record a 2-hour podcast.
Bilbo Baggins, you will go on an adventure with me, and I'm still alive.
You know, okay... I've heard people say, oh, they'll never make the Silmarillion. What's that thing called?
Silmarillion, yeah.
They will. They will make this. Doesn't matter if it's impossible to adapt, they'll still make it.
Yeah, because, I mean, look how much money these movies are. Unless, like, the Hobbit movies bomb, like, well, these two, which they won't. You know, it's like, why wouldn't they? You know, it's like, oh, look, we can print a couple more $1 billion if we make this. You know? It's like...
Well, shit, they edited themselves an extra $1 billion by splitting
that's all
Hobbit
they did.
2.
Yep.
It's like, okay, so the thing is with Hobbit, make no mistake, it was filmed as 2 movies, and they only decided to cut it into 3 movies. It was like July, I remember because I was at California Extreme.
It was last year, right?
It was in 2012, yeah. So it was after the 2 movies had been filmed. While they were editing, they decided to cut it into 3.
Yeah.
Like 5 months before it came out, so I think that's one of the reasons it has pacing problems, is because there's really no beginning, middle, and end. It's been completely changed.
Yeah. Yeah, like Peter Jackson was basically just sitting there, and he's like, oh, look, we edit right here, and oh, look, that's another $1 billion. Sweet!
Well, I don't know what episode we did. Oh, we filmed 2 episodes this week, but Allison took forever for her to edit them.
Yeah.
And, what was it? Oh, she's like, you know this one episode where you show how to mod a controller for accessibility? She's like, we could have easily made it into 2 episodes, but she's like, I just kept it to like 1 episode.
Yeah.
And yeah, so.
Yeah, same sort of thing. You guys have integrity.
Well, you know, that's why we started doing the show bi-weekly, every week, because we were doing it bi-weekly.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, we shoot enough. We could make 2 episodes a week. But yeah. That wasn't really, looking back now, that didn't quite make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now it's like, instead of shooting, you know, an hour's worth of footage and editing it down to 10 minutes every 2 weeks, we shoot like 2 hours of footage in 2 weeks and had to edit it down to 20 minutes. So
yeah,
it didn't really change much. All right, well, just let us know what you think of new podcasts, and we'll try to do these every month. Not every 2 weeks like we used to. That's too much. But
yeah,
because it's fun to talk about this stuff.
Indeed.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Adios.